Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I'm Larry Holmesby from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. I have the pleasure of talking to you about the man you're about to listen to, Doc Stanley, the legendary Doc Stanley. I always say, before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. When you listen to Doc Stanley, you have to appreciate his knowledge, the connection. When he's at the ballpark during baseball, he's around the water cooler talking to the athletes. When he's at the basketball games, he's in the locker room talking to players, talking to general managers, talking to front office personnel to bring you the insight why people make the decisions they make. When he's on the ice skating rink, he's talking to some of the few African-American, African-Canadian, African players who are on the ice right now making a difference. You are listening to Doc Stanley on Court and Deck.
Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, on Trust and God Radio Network, Sports and Death. It is a Sunday night, and hey, it's that time. The Spurs have now taken a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals Series, but the games come back to Miami, and the Spurs may have still let a golden opportunity get away, as I thought they would have had this thing wrapped up by now, but they haven't. But the man who coined the phrase, the Sports of Definition, will now bring you into the Sports of Definition. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, Costell. Wait!
Good doctor. The Sports and Definition is here. The Sports and Definition panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God, the Radio Network. The Strawbaxter, the drink is here. And that is indeed the incomparable Doctor. Take it away, the doctor.
No more needs to be said, Ronnie. But before we go further ado, before we, as my good friend Sidney Gap Jr. used to say, before we move another feather, let's get it together with the prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, the Father's Day. Thank you, the Father, the Father. Thank you, little things, Mr. Lord, he takes for granted, Lord. Bless our beloved family, our Father. For those who've been like fathers to us, those who passed on. But more importantly, Lord, what we want, what we want. Also, what we need. We have to bless the Lord, blessing. Name of God, Son, Jesus. Our Lord, Savior. Amen. God, Kelly. God, God, Radio. What is the step on the trust in God, that he will never get the Sunday? It's that time. The truth is here. Mel, Co, South, Smith, Jr., a.k.a. Little Kev, Co, Cincinnati, C-Wings, a.k.a. Mr. NFL 411, and the First Lady, F-S-I-N-D, Sports, the lovely. The talent, the incredible legend that they are, she leads the list, the First Lady. Not only S-I-N-D Sports, but in boxing in general. The one and only, you know the name, that begins at the top of the alphabet, Lady A. And that, we will hear, want to start off, too, with birthday wishes to the greatest Latin fighter that ever lived, Roberto Hands of Stone, a.k.a. Cholo Duran. He celebrates his birthday today. And in the pictures that we have, our monologue, we open up the picture of the great Roberto Duran, followed by Don King, as it was King who made the, man, the first $1 million Latin fighter And among the calls I made today, you know, as far as I shout out to a lot of my contacts, friends or contacts I made, Don was one of, he was the last caller I made that I actually called him. Don, Chris Chambliss, Eddie Murray were three of the people I got a chance to talk to today. Left messages. I got the little name dropping. Dr. J, Irving, Magic Johnson, John, Patrick McEnroe, and, of course, Dave Winfield. Winfield, the only man drafted by every major sport in America. And John McEnroe, for me, pound for pound, the greatest all-around tennis player to ever play, the Sugar Robinson of tennis. No more need to be said about Don King, greatest promoter to ever, EVR ever live. Shout out to our good buddy Mark Whedon. Want to also let you know, Friday night on MSG, they bring you some of the greatest fights of all time. Last week, it was the Hawk. Hold on, gang. Excuse me. Got to sneeze. The Hawk. Hold on. Forgive me. Maybe I ain't got to sneeze. Aaron Pry against Alexis Oguayo. This week, it was Riddick, Big Daddy Bo. The first fight between him and Evander, the real deal. Holyfield. 10th round, they talked about a tremendous round. Bo looked like he was going to take out the man with all the heart in the world. But then Evander changed the table, came back, almost won the round. 10th round was supposed to be one of the great rounds of boxing. Bo won a unanimous decision. In the return match, Evander won the fight. The third fight was out in Vegas. I was telling Larry Torres, I want to thank him so much for the media notes that we get every week. I remember sitting ringside at that fight, and Evander threw his shoulder out. And after that, Bo just took control and won that fight. He went 2 out of 3, but I've always said a good big man never loses to a good little man. And I think Bo was an outstanding champion. I think Bo had the possibility to be one of the all-time greats. He had the personality. He had the charm. Never did fight Lennox Lewis. Like I said, he did lose to Evander once, and once is enough when a good big man loses to a good little man. The fights with Galata, those were fights that wasn't so much that Bo won, that Galata lost. And then there was Tim Smith, who had that great line about Riddick Bo, and press notes, not press notes, but in a return letter that I sent to Larry Torres, MSG. I remember it was not Rock Newman who had all the faith and belief in Riddick Bo. Butch Lewis, according to what I've read, didn't have a lot of faith in Riddick. And Mark Whedon had said in the press notes from the show that a lot of people had seen Bo as sort of lazy. And I think that's what Butch saw. It wasn't what Rock saw, who did a great job with Bo. Bo had a fight not so long ago in Thailand, one of those kickboxing affairs. He fought, and for $150,000, for a guy who made zillions of dollars, one thing about Bo, he made some great money. I remember Eddie Futz was a little disturbed by Bo's lack of training and staying in the gym as he was more parading around the country, but around the world. And you had to take your hat off to Rock Newman, who did a great job of promoting Bo, a great job of making Bo a lot of money. Big Daddy, I believe that's the nickname that Rock attached to him. Right now, the number one female PR lady in boxing, and also probably the number one female PR person ever in history of boxing, Kelly Swanson, at that time was Rock Newman, who was the head of PR for Butch Lewis's firm, and Kelly Swanson was his girl Friday. And see how they both elevated. Swanson's become the foremost PR person. She got Vernon Hopkins. Nobody did a better job than promoting Vernon Hopkins. Her. She also has Floyd Mayweather. Pretty Boy Mayweather. And Newman,
oh,
that is
a great lady, eh, Doc? Oh, my.
Yes, sir. Yeah, she's here. She's here. And,
I have to tell her that I see something.
Happy Father's Day,
you know,
guys. Happy Father's Day.
Lady A, let me just hold tight because, you know, he also saw last week.
I know he's
going to
rub this in. Okay, go ahead, Doc.
I was talking to Andrew Rosario, and he felt that there were just too many more people qualified for that job. He mentioned the name of Lionel Hollins. He mentioned the name of Doc Rivers. Now, what I'm hearing, the Hoops is supposed to be with us tonight. Hope he gets in here. But the Hoops is telling me that, according to his inside sources, that Doc Rivers is going to wind up, I believe, coaching the Clippers. And I feel that's the word Hoopsa had that for me. And, you know, the thing that when I heard that, I said, wow, I just wish that my good buddy Grant Hill. I'm looking at an autographed picture of Grant Hill. I have framed here in the Trust in God Sports and Death Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame. He was on the cover of GQ. And we've got that autographed here along with a couple of pair of his game used sneakers. He was he took Fila to new heights. My daughter was a big Fila fan. And in fact, I have a couple of pair of sneakers that she had that he autographed. I remember him saying that. I may be redundant. He was saying when he autographed sneakers, well, tell her thank you for supporting me. Nobody had better numbers his first 6 years in the NBA than Grant Hill outside of Larry Bird and the legendary and the incomparable Oscar Palmer Robinson. And, you know, Grant left Detroit. He was misdiagnosed, played on a bad ankle that really turned his whole career around, and he was never the same player after that. And, you know, things happened. It was just a situation where it was unfortunate. He left, seemed to never, ever be physically the same.
He never regained that form, Doc. He didn't. He never regained that
form
at all.
I don't know. Just a little caveat on Grant Hill. You know, it's weird because I was watching a documentary from when Duke played Michigan way back when. I don't know if you guys caught it. They were doing something on the Fab Five, like last week. And to my surprise, I did not know that Jalen Rose held so much content toward Grant Hill. And
Really?
Yes.
Once again, on a documentary,
he mentions like how he had this. He hated Duke, but primarily like he hated Grant Hill. And it wasn't until he mentioned the fact that, you know, he never really knew his father, and Jalen Rose's father was a very good ball player. He mentioned the fact that, you know, he just hated the fact that Grant Hill, number one, played for Duke, and number two, you know, his father was always at his games, his father was always there, and he comes from a strong family background, Grant Hill.
Yeah.
Whereas Jalen kind of had to struggle.
But that's not Grant's fault. Calvin Hill.
Of course not, but I think it was more that content that he had toward him, you know, which is really weird to me. I mean, I never really thought Jalen to be that kind of guy, you know.
Well, you know, the thing about Grant, too, I mean, they always said that Grant was the kind of kid that was always conscious of how blessed he was and never wanted to ever be depicted as one who was sort of snobby and better than anybody else. And they told the story about how he asked his dad one time, you know, Dad, you know, when you drive me to the games, you know, could you use the second car and not the first car? You know, he didn't want to roll up in the Mercedes. He didn't want to roll up in the Jaguar. He didn't want to roll up seeing, you know, a little better than everybody else. And if you know Grant Hill, I mean, there's not a finer human being that walks the earth. I started giving him books as sort of appreciation for his kindness, and also at the same time, you know, we built a little rapport. And even now when I cover the Giants, I'll always see his dad and give him a couple of books for Grant. You know, Grant married, his wife is a gospel singing star. And, I mean, you just can't – if there's anybody who is in the clone or the mindset of the class and character of Dr. J, it's Grant Hill. Now, I know when he signed –
Oh, Doc, you know, I was just going to say, a lot of these guys – like, you know, and I think a lot of that goes to the wayside. I mean, you look like a guy like Derek Jeter, classy guy, you know, carries himself professionally and – you know, comes from a good family also. He comes from good family values. You know, and I think that sometimes, you know, you take a guy like Tim Tebow, the same thing. You know, these are guys that, you know, they're not the typical, and I hate to say it, they have that typical jock mentality. You know, these are guys that come with a lot of class to the table, you know?
Since you're mentioning class, I have to thank the doc. When I was very, very young and trying to break in this business, the good doctor went out of his way to help me and get me press credentials and what have you, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, when you talk about class and the former jock, you know, jock who, and Doc mentioned him earlier, Doc Rivers oozing class. The guy oozes class. I had many opportunities to have this kind of one-on-one conversations after Nick games and, you know, talking about basketball when he was still a member of the Knicks, sit down and talk. And I got to tell you, the guy is one of the great basketball minds of our time. He's a great coach. I knew that he would be a coach way after his playing days was over. The guy just has one of the great basketball minds of all time, and I don't think that he gets enough credit. So the idea
he also comes from you know, that area in Chicago. You know, he talked about it. We were talking to him one day, and I forgot about it. He said, you know, high school basketball in Chicago made the front pages. You know, they made the front pages in Chicago. I mean, he comes from Isaiah Thomas. I mean, Isaiah is a guy that came from that Chicago area. I talked about this. I talked about it last week. And
I thought Isaiah was from Michigan.
No, Isaiah, because
really, I don't know why. I guess it's because I thought him and Magic, you know, grew up in the same.
You know, if I'm correct on that, because I just remember the great. I think he's one of the great writers of our time and a good friend of mine, my good buddy, Mr. Brown, from Cliff Brown from the Times. He was writing for the Times then. He was the Daily Beat writer for the Times, basketball-wise. And we had talked about, that was right after, well, it was a big situation where Isaiah didn't get put on the team and everybody knew why he didn't get put on the team. And you know, and Cliff sat down and we talked. He said, well, you know, it was supposedly how the whole rift started with him and Mike was that Isaiah ran Chicago. That was the word. Isaiah ran Chicago. And when Mike got drafted by the Bulls, Isaiah supposedly sent two of his boys down to talk to Mike. Hey, Mike, hey, man, you know, my name is Scotty. My name is Cedric. And, you know, Isaiah sent us down here. And, you know, hey, man, you know, anything you need, anything you want, give us a call. You know, we're here for you. And supposedly, you know, Mike blew the guys off. Of course, as the story's been told to me, Mike blew the guys off. And that kind of started the, you know, the sort of the freeze or the feud. And at the same time, Cliff told me that Isaiah personally called Mike at home. Hey, Mike, man, I want to be in the team. Let's put all aside. And supposedly Mike said, hey, man, I got nothing to do with it. Boom, 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 zing, zing, zing. But from what I believe in, Isaiah is from that Chicago area. I got to double check it. But I remember it was, as Cliff said, he sent a couple of guys to Mike, said, hey, man, you know, anything you need, let us know, get to us. And Mike supposedly blew the guys off. And that was like a little shock. Like, hey, man, what's that all about? And supposedly that began the little mini feud or whatever that came out. But at the same time, he had said that Zeke had called Mike at home. Said, hey, Mike, man, you know. No. And I mean, now, that's all you need to know. I mean, he had Michael Jordan's home number. Okay? All right. I mean, it wouldn't be hard for him to get it. But and he called Mike at home. Hey, Mike, man, as I say, look, man, you know, let's put this aside. I want to be on the team, man. You know, what I got to do, boom, 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 you know. And slowly Mike came back and said, hey, you know, I got nothing to do with it.
Doc, that's not that far-fetched that they might have had some beef. So, you know, that's not the most unbelievable thing that could have happened. Mike at times was known for not being the most accommodating guy of all times at times, too.
Not only that, but if I could throw...
I don't really need these guys, period, in my life, so to speak. It's not shocking.
Well, if I could just throw this in the conversation, too, let's not forget, too, like, early on in Mike's career, Mike kind of, the way I kind of portrayed it, I mean, he had kind of risks early on in his career with a lot of different ball players. Remember the whole thing with Trent Tucker?
And really?
I think too early on with what had gone down back in the day, you know, guys kind of thought Mike to be a little arrogant, you know.
Are you kidding? Mike got a rep for being a little standoffish.
Yeah, and I think
that
rubbed a lot of the old time ball players a little the wrong way. Also, remember the whole thing before he broke his ankle? I don't know if you guys remember that whole thing that happened too. I mean, he played. he ended up playing, you know, when they were playing the Knicks, he had a little riff with Trent Tucker. And it was
really?
Around the time also where he had, remember the whole thing with him with the sneakers and, you know, guys kind of, you know, making fun of him with his, like, weird-looking sneakers. Remember the white, red, and the black sneakers and, you know, who was he and what was he doing, you know. So I think it kind of early on in his career, it was kind of arrogant. After he broke his ankle, I think he had a lot of riff with a lot of the old-time players also. That's what was brought
really?
To my attention. Yeah, that was brought to my attention early on, too. So I kind of think that, you know, as time progressed, you know, he kind of mended a lot of those things also. But at the same time, some guys never forget, you know. So,
who's the
probably knows about it. Hoopster probably knows about it.
It's true. Hey, also, y'all got to wish me a happy birthday, too. I had a birthday a couple weeks ago. Y'all forget about the Hoopster, right? Y'all forget about the Hoopster, right? That's
okay. No, hey. Had the Hoopster had his butt here last week, he'd have got his birthday kudos. We gave you kudos last week.
I'm sorry, well, I'm back now. I have some updates and stuff.
And we gave you kudos from Brazil. All the world knew the Hoopster had a birthday, baby. The question was, had the Hoopster ran out and joined ESPN or ABC?
Oh,
but
forget
was.
About it. I had a press conference, definitely.
I had a press conference
right there. Give you all kudos.
Yo, Hoopster,
I'd have probably put you all on ESPN with me,
yo,
for everybody.
Yo, Hoopster. Yo,
yes.
Hoopster, you know I got love for you. Am I wrong about what I said about Trent?
No, it's very true. You're right.
Thank you.
And you know,
Thank you.
I had a good friend who played with the Bulls, Sidney Green, as you all know.
That is very true.
You know, that's amazing because I remember Trent going to see Mike after one of the games, and I remember, you know, when I, because Trent, you know, Trent played with Mike. I remember when I went to Chicago to cover the Eastern NBA Finals, because I had told the NBA that, you know, if Eastern team would be it, I would cover the Eastern Finals. I got out there, had no credential for me, and I said, wait, hold on. I emphatically told you that I would cover the finals, and I would cover exclusively any Eastern. And they gave it to me. And I remember when I was walking along on the floor. Hey, Mel, Trent came over and talked to me. And, you know, if you know Trent Tucker, Trent Tucker's a great guy. And you know, I remember too that a lot of the riffs said too. You talked about these arrogance and stuff because there was supposedly an incident I think which led to the freeze out because Mike seemed. I mean, one portrayal was Mike wasn't speaking to the veteran plays and stuff like that out of sort of respect and reverence as a rookie. But at the other hand, you're talking about this. I mean, here's a guy who won the NBA in the NCAA championship. He came from North Carolina, number one draft pick, you know, of the Chicago Bulls. I remember somebody told me something once. Bert Bedell, my daughter Demony, when she was in school, high school. She had her points ahead of time, so she did 6 months at an accounting firm. And I met Burt Bedell, who at one time was the Yankee bad boy. You know what I mean? I remember he told me, the guy asked him, how come he won the job so bad? He said, man, I pick up spit. And he told me that he noticed in autograph signing, Julius Erving did it with sort of a pleasure. And he said, Michael Jordan did it more like a business, you know what I mean? And I mean, you know, you go here, there with that, but
yeah, but Doc, you know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Doc. I was just gonna say this. If you guys recall, and if my recollection serves me right, Michael Jordan's level of play changed significantly after he broke his ankle. You know, and I think that a lot of it is due to the fact that I think he felt he had to prove a point. After he broke his ankle, he sat down for so long. Now, I don't know. I mean, again, it's been a minute. I mean, I would have to defer that question to Hoopster. But I think I know it very well.
He played
that
ankle still on the hill.
I think that a lot of it was because he had to kind of – I felt like he kind of had to prove something because he was out for a minute. And a lot of the naysayers, you know, were out there saying things about him. So
that's true.
Thank you. So
I'm
going to
tell you something else too, Lady A. That ankle still wasn't healed when he was playing.
Right. I mean, and then if my mind serves me right, shortly thereafter, I think it was maybe a season two, is when he scored that 60-some-odd points against the
63.
Celtics.
63.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, breaking Elgin Baylor's playoff record of 61. And
man, it wasn't healed, Lady A.
That's amazing when you say that and you see what he accomplished. I mean, there's so many believe that Michael Jordan is the greatest player ever played a game, but it's unquestioned he was the greatest player of that era. And I remember people saying about Mike, because they always pushed Mike to a level of having to prove something. Because there were people who said, after he won a couple of scoring championships, they said, he's going to win all the scoring champions in the world, but he's never going to win an NBA championship. You know, that was the word on Mike,
Doc.
Too.
He needs some help. I mean, as great as he was, one man does not a teammate make. And that showed with his teams constantly losing to Isaiah and company before he got Scottie and a supporting cast.
Yeah.
Sure, he did
yeah.
his, but you need more than one man to make a team. One man does not a teammate, no matter how great
he
was.
No question. And you bring a point up. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk
Radio.
But
I think you got to inject something else into that too, Doc, before you go to the, you know, to the plug. Well, you know, another thing is, you know, through seasoning is when you start gaining leadership. And I think that his ability to, at that point, to understand that he had to have that supporting cast and include them in play is what made him what he was after that. I mean, it's one thing to have talent, it's another thing to be supporting with the talent, but it's another thing to acknowledge
the
play.
If you go back to college days, I mean, he understood that. I mean, you look at the team that won NCAA championship. He was there. Worthy was on that team.
Sam Perkins
was on that team. That was a hell of a team. Kenny Smith. And then you had an outstanding coach.
Jimmy Black.
Kenny Smith. Yeah, Jimmy Black. And Coach Smith talked about that. I remember up at the AC Club. At the AC Club at the downtown, not the downtown club, was at the, there was an affair there, and he was there, and Tubby Smith was there, and Dee talked about how, you know, Mike, you know, be in college, and he was saying he'd come back home sometime, he said he'd be wide open for a jump shot, and Coach was saying, well, you know, that's not a coincidence, you know, because Mike didn't have a jump. Well, no, what are you talking about? I thought about that today when I was walking along the halls of the Trust in God Sports and Entertainment Artifacts Museum. And, you know, people talk about great players. I remember Trent Tucker, and I asked Trent Tucker. I said, Trent Tucker, who's the best one-on-one player in the league? I figured he was going to say Jordan. He said, you know, Isaiah and Jordan is close, Mel. He's close. And if you look at Isaiah, and you look at Michael, you know, Isaiah was a superior player to Michael. Isaiah was a superior player to Magic Johnson. Isaiah could handle the ball better than Michael and just as well as Magic. Isaiah could pass the ball better than Michael and just as well as Magic. And Isaiah had a better jump shot than Magic and Michael.
And he can jump and leap.
And if you look at Isaiah made the Pistons into a great team a lot quicker than Michael made the Bulls into a great team. Because I'll never forget when TV Isaiah was drafted by the Pistons, and they had him on TV and had that million-dollar smile. I always reminded Michael Jackson. I said, what is this guy smiling? He's going to the Detroit Pistons. And C.M.A. Smith said something on a video I was watching last week, and they were talking about how now to come out in the ensuing years that, you know, which we all knew that Isaiah was blackballed from the Olympic team. And you know, C.M.A. said something. He said, man, you know, Isaiah Thomas was, first of all, he was an all-star every year of his career. He was a two-time NBA champion. He was an NCAA champion. And he said, you know, what people forget, man, he was the leader of the Pistons. And he said, you know, they were drawing 60, 70,000 people a game.
That's crazy.
They were selling out the Palace, man. And nobody talks about that, man. They was
all
crazy.
Joe Louis Arena.
He had that in Detroit, which is a not a big a market as, you know, New York, L.A., Miami,
so
and
point,
stuff
you know
like
what,
that.
You know what, Wings? Yeah, here you come in again on the money. Ladies and gentlemen, get no better than screw. You're right. I mean, you know, you're talking about Detroit. We're not talking about Chicago. We're not talking about New York. We're not talking about L.A. We're not talking about Texas. We're not talking about Florida. We're talking about Detroit. And they were selling out 60, 70 per game. And, you know, I don't understand how they age so quick, but it wasn't until the Pistons got old that Mike and them, even with Scottie and them, was able to beat them. I mean, if you match Isaiah's team up against Jordan's team up. Well, Isaiah and Jordan, they neutralized each other. But Dumas was the superior of anybody you put in the backcourt with Mike. Okay, Lambeer and Cartwright, equal. Okay, up front. Okay, maybe Scott.
Don't forget Vinny.
Vinny Microwave.
But now, what I'm going to say, Sally and Scotty neutralized. Oh, well, Sally come up the bench. So you had Mark McGuire, and so Scotty gets the edge there. But Rodman was the equal of anybody you put on the other side of Scotty. And then the bench was Sally and Microwave come up that bench. That was it.
James Edwards. Don't forget James Edwards. Oh, man.
James Edwards. Okay, yeah, you know what? Okay, Buddha in the hole. So you Buddha up front. And you know, Daly was definitely the equal of Phil Jackson as a coach.
Daly was a hell of a coach.
Daly never gets any credit.
He never gets any credit for being the kind of coach. And then he came here.
You know why, Doc? Because all you ever heard of was Pat Riley at that time, like you said, and Phil Jackson. And that's all you ever heard of. I mean, and here comes Daly. You know, like it was like he was a third stringer out of that group. I mean, but he was equally as – I think he was effective as a coach.
Oh, he's a great coach. I mean,
I had to call him the Swami. Always folding his arms. Always folding his arms, standing up.
Oh, folding his arms? Yeah, you know what got me, too? We talked, and he always told me that every suit he wore one time and put it back in the closet and would wear a different suit every game. A great coach.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
He's a guy that coached the Olympic team. They said, you know, one of his great attributes was never calling a timeout. You know, never calling.
And you know, they got
his
name on his jersey, on the Olympic jerseys. You know, I was telling you that a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And also, if you remember, what people don't remember was that the Dream Team had lost a scrimmage to a college team.
Yeah.
And Daly would not allow them to replay that team. In other words, he let that psychologically eat at them, psychologically motivate them. And the rest, I think they won every game by like 37 points. You know, so it's motivating. But, you know, when you talk about great players, and you know, you talk about that whole Isaiah thing. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guardian Network, Sports and Death. It's a Friday. The gang's all here. The Spurs have taken a 3-2 two-game
lead.
Said they were winning six. I thought, you know, let's talk about this.
That's
I thought the Spurs
games.
Well, can I say something about that Spurs game? That last game, like I was telling you before.
The game before this, you mean?
Yeah, they put LeBron James at center, and they did that so they could spread the court open. This time, the Spurs did the same thing. They grabbed the rebound and pushed the ball up.
But
they
also this game, Yohusta, I don't know if you caught this last game. The second quarter, they had like 6-7 turnovers.
And the Heat
capitalized on it. And then in the end, like toward the end, when you saw it was going back and forth, they cut that lead down.
I think it was a couple of those calls
that went in their favor that got them to be like, okay, let's step it up, and they did. Ginobili had a phenomenal game. That kid Green was shooting like lights out.
Hey, you know what college he went to, right? Does everybody know what college he went to? You don't know? Green went to North Carolina, 2009 championship North Carolina squad.
Before you go saying you see something.
They're going to go back to Miami, blow both games, and thus blow a golden opportunity to have won a championship by blowing game four, which they rightfully should have won.
Yeah, well, They're hungry.
Okay, all right, before Mel goes into his tirade about I see something, were you seeing the three-pointers? Because it was raining three-pointers.
He broke
Ray Allen's record already, kid. What? He already broke Ray Allen's record.
He's from North Carolina, been cut twice from the same squad, twice, the Spurs, twice.
But if they had a golden chance to win the championship, they're going to go to Miami, blow two games, and thus Miami will repeat.
Well, it's good. Let me tell you something.
Chance,
I'm Miami.
Hold on, yeah, hold tight. I'm just back over that. Now, if we go back, the Heat blew the first game, couldn't make the free throws. They could have went to San Antonio 2-0. Now, I thought San Antonio, and I'm going with you on this, Rooney, and I see this, San Antonio, when they lost that game the other night, that was the game they had to have to finish these guys off. Because
absolutely.
Had they won that game, it's
positively.
Done.
Absolutely.
Had they won that game, it's done. You know, I think tonight
anybody
was different.
If they win that game, Doc.
I think tonight they shot their wad. Tony Parker, I don't know how bad he's hurting. This is great. He's still hurting.
That's a pain for him.
Nobody's
not going to put up those numbers the way he did the night when he ran on Miami.
He showed us. He's been a guy that team has carried over the course of the years. When they were at their best, he was the guy that they carried. You know, he helped. We're trying to show so much about the spacing on the floor. But you really saw in the first game how much he's declined. When he went down the middle to dunk the ball, and he hit the rim. I think that you're right. I think Miami's going to win game number six. And it depends how they win game number six.
Doc,
they could take game number seven.
Hoopsa, listen. Did they have an answer for Tony Parker today? Negative. Did they have an answer for Ginobili today? No.
No. They got an answer for Green.
And if Duncan starts going hard to the rim, it's lights out for them, buddy. I'm sorry, it is.
Is that a record for three pointers?
Yes, that's Ray Allen's record.
That's Green.
Yeah,
he just.
Yeah, hold on, back up. There's a guy right now that hasn't shown. I mean, where is Ray Allen?
No, he did all right today. He did all right tonight.
Okay, then what we have to do then where is the problem? With Allen, Bosch, LeBron and Wade, and maybe you know the other question. Maybe Wade shot his load the other night too. You know, he's been hurt for a while. Games is going to be interesting. Games is going to be very.
Within the first half, I think it was the first half of the first quarter. Hoopster, right? They had 17 points.
17 points. That's correct.
Let me tell you, if Bosch, Wade, and LeBron all play consistently. I mean, and they all show up at the same time playing a game, it's going to be a problem for San Antonio if they show up hurting. I still think the missing link is Ginobili and Duncan going hard. If they show up, Ginobili's
not going to put up those numbers in Miami, lady. I'm telling you, he's not going to duplicate that performance of the night in Miami.
They are four-time champions, Rooney. Don't forget. Don't put them to sleep. I think they're showing.
To close it out, like I told Doc, who agrees with me, and I agree, they had their chance, Hoop, to close it out over here in San Antonio.
They
didn't come out with a sense of urgency.
But they won this game tonight. That was the pressure's on the Heat.
Let me tell you something, Rooney.
This is the same thing that happened with Dallas.
This is the Spurs. They're a good team this year. But you got to look at Miami. Miami's starting to show
their battle scars, having to go, you know, the seven-game series.
This ain't the Pacers they playing.
Yeah,
okay,
but
so.
I mean, still, you okay. look at they went seven games. They had a problem too with Chicago. Even though they beat them, Chicago was all.
They were hurt. They had their full team. They'd have been in trouble. Okay.
Well, I tell you what, the game, and you go back to the Indiana series, and one more time, Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Tucson Guard Network Sports to Death. Happy Father's Day.
across the world. Well, actually, you know, Father's Day is only here in Brazil. Mother's Day is the same day as is the rest of the world, but Father's Day in Brazil doesn't come to August. The pictures, let me get to the pictures real quick. It's Roberto Duran. Wish happy birthday to Roberto Duran today. Don King, the promoter, greatest promoter of all time. Don's pitches there along with Eddie Murray, only switch hit in the history of baseball, but over 500 home runs, 500 doubles, 3,000 hits. Those two pitches there because out of the buddies I called today, got a chance to talk to both of them. And
you got another birthday, Doc, also, tomorrow. Venus Williams, tomorrow, her birthday, she'll
Venus
be 33.
And also, I put a picture of Leroy Neiman, whose birthday was the 8th. Leroy would have been 92 years old.
Wow,
and,
God bless him.
Yeah,
well
yeah,
missed.
Yeah, we
real nice.
Really,
we met him at the – you introduced me to him at the steakhouse. When he was there.
Oh, yeah.
Doc. He was
yeah.
Peyton. Man, he was there, Peyton. Remember, Doc?
Yeah. The great Leroy Neiman. It would have been 92.
Yeah, he was really nice, yeah.
So
yeah,
the picture that we have across the board, once again, none other than my man Roberto Duran, Don King, Eddie Murray, Leroy Neiman. Names up on the board that we open up. We open up with Roberto Duran, Leroy Neiman, Don King, Tim Tebow. Got to talk about Tebow. Also, Prince and Allen Iverson who celebrate birthdays on the same day
when they get a chance.
As Bert Sugar has a birthday on the 7th, the day before Leroy Neiman. Bobby Goodman also celebrated birthday on the 8th, 16th with Roberto Duran. The 26th of this month will be Derek Chanderson Jeter, the first black captain of the Yankees, full black captain. Willie Randolph was co-captain with Ron Guidry, and Jeter, the only Yankee to ever get 3,000 hits, and he may be the only Yankee ever to get 3,000 hits. Got to talk some boxing too next week. This time we'll be talking about the Paulie Malignaggi and Adrian Broner fight.
An intriguing fight that is, Doc. Very intriguing fight, Malignaggi and Broner. Very intriguing. Number one, because Paulie's going to be the and I've talked to Lady A about this too. To my knowledge, the first live body that Broner's actually going to fight.
The first guy
has a heart that's beating. And you know, some of Doc Paulie can't break an egg, but he has a very good jab and a lot of heart. I'll be anxious to see how Broner copes with someone who actually has a live body and is probably going to give him some rounds. I think he has much more talent in the way of hand speed and then a better punching power. But the fact that this guy is not some cab driver, from the Lower East Side or something, but an actual fighter who has a big heart and a decent jab, I'm anxious to see how he reacts to it.
Yeah, that's going to be a good fight. Yeah, that's probably going to be the best fight of the
Well, I tell you what, if Broner has the talent that he supposedly has, you know, because
he's going up 2 weight classes, too, so don't forget that.
He's going up 2 weight classes?
He's going up 2 weight classes to try to fight Malignaggi.
Really? Wow.
So, you go up 2 weight classes, there's a slight chance he may lose a little bit of his speed. Also, he hasn't fought, just like Rooney said, he hasn't really fought anybody
to really brag about.
And Paulie has fought, just about everybody. I mean, he got he got his jaw broken by Cotto and finished the fight.
He showed a lot of heart in the Mir Khan fight here too. They fought in the Garden. Remember that fight? He showed a lot of heart there too against Khan.
Well, he seemed like Chad Dawson laying on his back,
basically by one punch.
Oh my God!
But let me tell you something. The fight last night with Juan Ma and Mikey Garcia, I was number one, very surprised. Mikey Garcia could not beat the weight at 126. They made that fight with him at 128. And they showed Mikey Garcia going through it, trying to make weight, vomiting and everything. I never thought HBO would broadcast that, but they did. And he ended up fighting that fight.
That's
number one. Hold on, let me finish.
And number two
was, I've always said for the longest that Juan Ma.
Sound like Dusty. Let me finish. My goodness.
Juan Ma has always had, the biggest flaw he's had is he's a hard puncher, but he has no defense. And it caught up with him yesterday when he lost in the fourth
really
round.
And really bad balance.
Well,
yeah,
caught
really
him. First of all, there's two things here. You know, hey, let me finish. You know? But there's two things here, though, really. That's his third loss in a row. But let's get back to that. I mean, how do you not be able to make their way. And we talked about this that before here, gang, and we've all said this one thing. That's not only a black eye on the fighter, it's a black eye on his training camp. How the hell do you not get this guy to come in at weight? What the hell? I mean, the one thing you're supposed to do is have this guy make weight. He don't make weight? That's crazy. That's crazy.
Lady, do you know
it's bad enough that the guy can't make weight, Doc, but he doesn't blow the weight by, say, a half pound or three quarters of a pound or even a pound. The guy does all that after trying to grow up and whatnot. The guy's still 2 pounds over.
Two pounds over, man.
His training regimen.
But Doc, this is what we talk about all the time. Two pounds overweight.
How can you be 2 pounds overweight? And I mean, it's like a police officer going out with no bullets in your gun and no flashlight. How can you be 2 pounds overweight and you've been training for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and you're two? And not to mention, it's a day. Because it's not like in the old days where you weighed on the same day to fight.
Had he
weighed on the same day to fight, he might have been 3 pounds overweight. But how do you be
doing
Walmart? Now, Walmart, on the other hand, is done. I mean, when he fought at the Garden against the guy from Tanzania, you know, that if that guy had to hit him in the middle of the ring, he'd have knocked him out. But the thing is, we go back to main events again. The big fight people wanted to see was him and Gamboa. Aram never made the fight. It's a fight he should have made. People would have came to that fight, and when the fight was finally getting ready to be made, as Gilberto Ortiz, our commentator and expert from working on boxing, the Latin side, said, you know, Gamboa didn't show up to the press conference because he boycotted and left Top Rank. But Aram had a chance. I mean, it's amazing. I talked about the Gilberto today. It's amazing that Aram would fight Pacquiao against the whole stable, and yet he would not make the Gamboa and Romanov fight. And now Romanov, all intents and purposes, as Marvin Gaye said, he's not doggone. He's long gone. Three losses in a row.
I think that his fights with Orlando Salido were the finishing point for him. Because when he lost those battles, I said to myself, you know what? That was it. To lose in Puerto Rico? I was like, no. I think it was pretty much a done deal after that. And also the thing with him was, it was never a secret that, you know, his chin was a question, and also his defense. You know,
right.
You look at him, just his balance and the way when he fought.
No
down,
balance
like,
at all, lady.
Yeah,
no defense,
I was like,
hold back, stop. Yeah, this is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. This is amazing. You're listening to Rooney and Lady A, as well as the Hoopster and Cincinnati. You listen to Rooney and Lady A mention little things, and this is what we said for years, what's wrong with boxing. The people who have these people don't have a clue. Lady A and Rooney are watching from TV and can see this, and these people are up close and personal and can't see this. You're telling me, as what Hal has said, there's no progression, there's no elevation, there's no education given or being done by these fighters. And, gang, you got to take your hats up to yourself. I'm not saying it because you're my people. I'm not saying because of love. But this is what's important in life. You have to surround yourself with people who are the best and know what they're doing. And I got to pat myself on the back because this is what I've done with this crew of people. And just the little things they say, because the little things they make. I mean, did you hear yourself, Rooney? Did you hear yourself, Lady A? You're talking about balance. You're talking about football. And you're watching from a distance, and there's people up close who don't have a clue. Here's a boy who had no defense.
Here's another thing, too, and I don't know if you guys caught this. You know, with Wama, I see him shooting out shots when he's throwing out his punches. And then I'm like, why does he leave his chin out? It's like, Rudy, correct me if I'm wrong. You've been in the ring. You shoot out a punch. Your chin should not be out. You should be, like, somewhat tucked.
And it was way
so
out.
A guy comes out.
Badly off balance.
Oh, my goodness. You're shooting
shots.
Out punches. I'm like, what are you doing? Your chin is out. Oh, my God. I was like, oh, he's going to get knocked down. He went down, like, three times.
Yeah, three times.
Three times. I said, what are you? You know, come on. That's it. Lights out. The party's over.
Worse than Chad Dawson.
Chad Dawson,
But you know what, Lady A? What about we talk about the Showtime boxing event at the Turner Stone last weekend?
which put on, I think it was promoted and funded for the most part by Cotto, right? Miguel
right.
Cotto.
Cotto Promotion.
And they put on such a good showing there from end to end, from the super light welterweight, I believe it was, to the title fight of Jorge Melendez and Nick Brinson, where Brinson ultimately defeated Melendez for his WBC super welterweight belt. I mean, we talked about that the whole night, how the fighters were. Obviously, there were some things with which fight was that where the guy kept dropping his left, I believe. But for the most part, I mean, that was a good bout. Those were good bouts. I mean, good boxing. You haven't really seen anything like that in a while.
Well, here's the thing. I was reading something recently that said to me, for the Alvarez-Trout fight, Alvarez had close to 40,000 people in that fight that showed up. 40,000. Mm. So now, imagine if he was able, well, I think one of the promoters is talking about trying to get a 70,000 crowd at the Alamo Dome. So,
and they will fill the Alamo Dome, Lady.
They will.
Mayweather and Alvarez
could do it. Mayweather and Alvarez
they
could definitely do it. And I tell you this, you know, in doing some of the reading that I've read so far, in several different articles that I've read, Alvarez, to me, still needs a little bit more seasoning before he's even able to fight a guy like Mayweather.
Yeah, hold on,
now,
man, hold on.
Me.
Doc Stanley, hold tight, Ronnie, back up. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports Endeavor, this Sunday. We say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers across the nation, and we also say Happy Birthday for Elise Cubiano to Roberto Hansenstone, a.k.a. Cholo Duran. The Spurs have taken a 3-2 game lead. They go to Miami looking to close out to put the freeze on the Heat. Tiger Woods way off in the U.S. Open, as well as once again Phil Mickelson coming up short. The sixth time he's been number two. And here's a major stat. Jack Nicklaus won 18 majors. He finished second. Are you ready for this, gang? He finished second 19 times.
Wow.
Amazing stat. Doc Stanley, Flop Talk Radio on the Trusted Guard Radio Network, Sports in Depth. It is a Sunday night show. The gang is all here. The first lady of Sports in Depth, the legendary, the lovely, Lady A, a.k.a. Little Rooney, a.k.a. Little Coco, a.k.a. Mel Cosell Smith Jr. is in the house. Cincinnati Sea Wings, a.k.a. Mr. NFL 411, he's here. And the Hoopster, he can take it down low off the dribble and just simply dunk in your face. They're all here. We're talking about sports. We've got a solid hour left to go. Just get into it. In the boxing thing, we were just talking about this whole thing, and we're gonna get to some right there. But it's just amazing. One of the names that I mentioned too, yo up there, Arturo Gatti, and he comes up at the right time. Gatti was into the Hall of Fame along with Mills Lane. Let's get it on. And Gatti is the last fighter, I think, Lady A, I think, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., in fact, I gave him a call today to have a Father's Day to my great friend Buddy McGirt. And I know Buddy McGirt, you know, and maybe you have to look at the other side of things, too. As I remember Muhammad Ali, and, man, you know, when you talk about Ali, it's just so much more than just a boxer. And Ali talked about, I'm being redundant maybe, and can't forgive me, I remember saw a video from Ireland back in the 70s when he was there. And the guy asked him, he said, hey, you know what, looking back in retrospect, you know, Supreme Court, you won your decision, everything that you said came to frustration, but in looking back, you must have some disdain for the people who now were wrong, the people now who turns out it was an injustice, the people now who did these bad things against you. And I always said, you know what, no, I don't have time for that. I'd be just as bad as them. He said, I understood where they were coming from. I just thought they understood where I was coming from. And what I'm saying here is Buddy McGirt prolonged the career of Gatti, and Gatti was able to do what Buddy taught him. Maybe the problem here, too, is that besides these people not knowing anything, maybe they have tried to change, to implement these necessary changes and adjustments. Maybe the guys, Lady A, you take this first, they just don't have the time. They can't do it. They can't do it. I mean, their Mustangs are not Maserati. So maybe, I don't think that's the case, but given the benefit of the doubt, maybe, hey, Wama, you got to do this. So-and-so, you got to do that. And this is the thing, Rooney, that we kept being redundantly telling you is why Bernard Hobson still fights, because the guys that they can't fight. Lady A, go ahead. Run with
well,
it. Go, Lady A.
I think a lot of it, I would have to allude back to what Harold Weston said quite a few shows ago we had where, you know, he mentioned that guys come up and it seems like they only know one way of fighting. And then once somebody exploits that style or that way of fighting, then it's difficult for them to make those adjustments. And that's the key thing. I think it's making those adjustments. You see, take a fighter like Marquez who beat Pacquiao, and they just beat him. I mean, gave him a beating. Okay? Why? Because Pacquiao's best defense was his offense. And what Marquez was able to do was see those little small things he needed to do in the fight and make those adjustments to then capitalize when the opportunity arose. I think it's difficult for a lot of fighters to do that because they're set in their ways and it's tough. I think we mentioned a while ago when you and I were talking, Doc, about those things that Emmanuel Stewart, that one conversation we had with him at PB Kings, where we were talking about something similar, and he said how he was able to make those tiny changes in Cotto that took a little bit of time. But remember, Cotto was only with Emmanuel for a few fights.
Right.
And
one
he
fight.
Saw that it was
just
difficult
one fight.
For Cotto.
Just one fight. Just one.
It was difficult
just
for Cotto to make those changes. However, Cotto was making those changes that he needed to with Emmanuel. So it's difficult, I think, and to answer your question, it's those guys that are able to do what Cotto did that are then able to raise the level of their game the way they need to. And I think when you talk about those fighters, that's when you're talking about championship caliber fighters.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is in essence what makes them rise above the rest. When you look at a guy like Mayweather, you know, Mayweather to me is like an anomaly, and I said it best a couple of weeks ago when I thought so, when it was like we were talking about, you know, to fight Mayweather, you can't be good, you can't be great, you got to be phenomenal, you know, you have to be phenomenal. And it's not taking anything away from Guerrero when he fought him. He's a good fighter, but he's not a phenomenal fighter.
Guerrero wasn't in his skill level.
You know, and you have to be a phenomenal, but you have to be a phenomenal fighter to beat him. That's just it.
I understand that, but Guerrero was never in his skill level. He was never going to beat
Yeah, but you know, Rooney, the truth of the matter is, at this point, there's nobody that we can see right now that is at his skill level.
Let me just say this, okay? That may be true, Doc, but I have said this before, and I'm going to say this again in front of my stellar, you know, my other stellar writers here on the panel, you, Lady A, you, and the great C, that if that fight goes the distance and Carmelo Alvarez is still around from the 12th round, I want you all to listen closely. He is going to get the decision over Floyd Mayweather. I'm going to say it again.
Rooney, I have two words for you, Rooney. Jason Kidd.
Let me tell you this about Kidd just quickly, all right? Now, I think that was a very bold move.
He destroyed you right now,
it was
now,
a very bold
bro.
Move that nobody
you.
Expected.
Oh,
he's
going to
get that coaching job, Doc. Nobody expected that.
Rooney, you're going to need a bay crane to help you put the pieces together on that one, brother.
You got to pick up your face from the floor. You got to pick up your mouth from the floor, Rooney, on that one, man. So.
No, not
so,
really.
You can't
crane, brother.
My mouth is hanging right
hey,
now.
Hold on.
To get that position. Nobody.
Rooney.
Yeah,
Rooney,
he came out
on.
Of nowhere
Rooney,
with that
Rooney,
one.
Rooney, you're not by yourself. Cincinnati Sea Wings, it's NFL 4. Are you there? I got two words for you, and I want you to expound on talking football. Tim Tebow. Talk to me.
Tebow.
You got the floor. Come on, Cincinnati Sea.
Listen, Tim Tebow, that I still think he's in a bad position because he doesn't have any guaranteed money.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll see him really take any snaps. As long as Brady is healthy, being a third-string quarterback on a team like that with a coach and a quarterback like Brady, yeah, I mean, would they be able to use him on some plays? Yeah.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't see him being used. He may be used more than he was on the Jets, but
oh, yeah.
Is he going to have that bigger impact?
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen,
you're talking about a guy
that got skipped. They didn't even go to the second stringer. They went right to the third string of the New York Jets. Like, oh, no, it's not about we want to win. Oh, no, Sanchez provides us with the best opportunity to win, but we're going to skip.
But it didn't win, though.
Don't say too quickly because he might fumble the ball when you say that. But who's you know.
Here we go.
You mean butt fumble the ball. Butt fumble.
Job.
There's a funeral here. There's a funeral here. Somebody's going to get buried.
He can't throw.
He can't throw. He's not
what?
Accurate.
Who can't throw?
Who's that?
Tim Tebow.
What? Are you kidding me?
Watching them in training camp. I mean, just the fact that we were held to secrecy with the Wildcat and everything
With the Wildcat.
I saw more like a pussycat, not a Wildcat. I mean, it's just.
I said this is not going to work.
Wait, stop right there.
You know what? I said what Rooney said. And, you know, you got 3 games left, you're out of playoffs. If this guy is that bad, show me. Let him play and show
me. Exactly. Period. Hold on. I'm going to tell you
what Joe Klecko told me, okay? And I never played the game. And I remember me and Klecko talking, and we concurred. This guy came to the Jets, had won his division, okay, had taken his team to the playoffs, and beat the Pittsburgh. And Klecko said something else.
That's really right. He said,
and the guy brings some credibility. A devout Christian, a man of class and character. You know, he brought them to the table. I mean, you know, I have always loved the Jets. But last year, amen, I will no longer say I'm a Jet. I mean, it was as Lady A said, it was trifling. Okay. It was low down.
Hold on a second.
You guys are missing the main component. They asked the guy, I think, didn't they ask him to beef up a little? Okay? They asked the guy to beef up a little, get a little, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like, he does what you want him to do. And you
everything,
have to pass him
exactly.
Over.
Everything that was asked of him, at halftime, will you go up to Section 17 and sign autographs? And then in the third quarter, could you help the peanut guy down in Section 211? No problem, coach.
I don't think they truly had a plan. Let me tell you what's going to happen
with Tim Tebow. And let me tell you what Belichick is going to do just to rub it in with Tebow. Tebow is going to – he's going to have Tebow help beat the Jets when they play the Jets this year. And he's going to rub it in by using Tebow to be one of the blowout situations.
He's going to play a blowout situation. Yep.
We have 3 minutes left to go. The Jets are up 24-21. Wait a minute. Brady is down. Brady's down, and wait a minute, Tim Tebow's coming in the game. It's 3rd and 17
But the question is, are they
going to
dress?
Let me have this, gang. It's 3rd and 17 on the New England 25. Tebow back to pass. He's looking deep. He's going to touch. Okay, you know what? Let's leave that. What took Cruz so long? Cincinnati City, no, you missed the NFL poll. What took Cruz and the Giants so long to come together and finally, what are you saying, for $3 million? Talk to us, Cincinnati City. What took Cruz so long?
He signed a $2.8 million
tender,
which was, that's the salary which was negotiated due to the 2011 CBA agreement after the lockout. But Cruz, at this point, he had to sign
by June 17th. Or the Giants would have reduced his tender to downwards to $630,000, which would have been 110% of his last year's salary of $540,000. So, I mean, he made the wise choice to sign for that $2.8 million. It also
Back up. Okay, you tell him to watch it. I mean, shouldn't he have signed before for what, the $7 million they were offering him? I mean, he's got
$8 million. $8 million.
About
$7 million. But his, as you look in football, these the players, you know, the average career being about 3 to 4 years, you know, they have such a small window to make as much money as they can. And there's always, you know, a player is always going to look, obviously you work for the organization, but you also look to make as much money as you can for your family. Everything is to get the biggest bang for your buck. And the organization is there, is always going to be there, and they're going to always look for the long-term health, especially when you see an organization like the New York Giants, the way that they manage, the way that they run, is to what's best for the organization.
You mean like Sanchez that provides us with the best opportunity to win. Come on.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy.
Here's another thing. Let's go back. I mean, because Jerry Reese is a friend of ours. He's been here with us. You know, my thing I'm looking at, too, with the Giants, because, you know, Hakeem, he's outstanding when he plays, but he stays hurt. I would have thought that they would have said, you know, let's take care of this thing. Now, maybe Cruz's agent messed up. But let's try to get Cruz in, who can stay healthy and who seems like he's going to be a great player in his league for a while. But more importantly, he stays healthy and he made some adjustments. Defensive did some things last year, but he made the adjustments and he was still a stellar player. Hakeem seems to get hurt a lot. It would seem to me that they would have wanted to ensure not only having Cruz back, but a guy who's an integral part of the offense and a receiver that Manning knows so well. So now the thing here, Cincinnati C, Ms. NFL 401, your thoughts, was this a situation where the agent or Cruz and him didn't strike while the iron was hot? I mean, you say, because if he didn't sign by today, now it's Monday, the 17th, okay, he's out. But, I mean, $7 million is $8 million is a whole lot more than what the $500,000 he was making. And then I think the Giants, let me know, the Giants are saying, well, you know, let's get Cruz in because Hakeem, I mean, he can't stay on the field. So I don't understand why they wouldn't want to lock down Cruz, who can stay in the field, who's been a stellar player, who just broke the record for receptions in a Pro Bowl game. And, you know, to me, I mean, what's your thought? Was it bad management or bad advice from his agent? Or the Giants felt that, you know, eventually we're going to get him, and now they did get him, but it seems in the reality of the situation that the winner in this deal is the Giants.
I mean, you look at the situation that the Giants were going to, the road that they were going to take, and this may be indication of how the talks are going to go. Is there any remaining bad blood between the organization and Victor Cruz and his agents, because he did change his agent during the offseason. He hired Tom Cardone of CAA Football to handle his football contracts while he took up Jay-Z's Roc Nation to take up his off-field, pursuits and different business commercials and things that he does and things like that. But it's just an odd situation. I mean, you look at the $7 million. It's been such a crazy free agency season. I mean, you had a draft that really didn't have too many superstar players when you compare it to last year's draft. It's a lot. I mean, but look, the organizations are the ones that cut the checks. You're dealing with the salary cap, which is expected to remain flat, roughly about $121 million through 2015. So, I mean, you look at the history of the Giants. It's an old organization. It's always been managed properly. So, you know, they tend to stick with, you know, the way that they have been running the organization. So, I mean, it's you'll have to see. You'll have to see. I mean, it is basically right now is a wait-and-see game. Hakeem Nicks, he had a different situation. Had he skipped the mandatory minicamp, it would have cost him about $66,000 as opposed to Victor Cruz. He wouldn't have been fined for skipping the week's mandatory minicamp had he not signed his $2.8 million tender. So, I mean, it's a situation. You have two good wideouts that the Giants need, but could still go on without them being there. I mean, you know, that's just the jigs of the situation. The way that the NFL is set up with the unguaranteed money, the short career span as opposed to other sports. You look at Major League Baseball, not to go off a little bit, even with the steroid scandals and things like that, Alex Rodriguez being named. But he was still, even if it comes out the fact that he did you know, mess around with HGHs, PEDs, and different things like that, the Yankees can't even get out from under the contract. There's nothing in this contract to say that if he is caught with this or there is some scandal or anything like that, that they could pull out of the contract. So, you know, the NFL stands for not for long, other than the National Football League, and it is a tough, tough sport to play in, not only physical, but you look at monetarily the way that the contracts are set up. So it's definitely a wait-and-see game. Hakeem Nicks is coming off the five-year $11.025 million rookie contract. So he's scheduled to earn about $2.75 million this year in non-guaranteed base salary. So we'll see what's going to happen with the Giants.
But you know, C-Wing also – C-Wing's also,
no,
I mean,
sorry,
you got
Danny, I just wanted to let you guys know that. Also, don't forget, Lady A and C, that we're also coming off. And I knew that there was a reason that this guy went from, I believe, 16.5 sacks the year before last to 6.5 last year. And I believe that's because of what JPP had a back surgery not too long ago. I want to see how he responds to that and, you know, how he – you know, looks on the football field, because when a guy goes from 16.5 sacks to 6.5 the next year, it's more than just because he's got double teams. So now we have a possible big reason for his lower production, you know, the back surgery he had in the offseason.
Well, I was going to inject in the conversation also. I mean, then you got the flip side of that, where you got a contract with Joe Flacco coming off the win with the Baltimore Ravens. And you see how much money he's getting now. So
overrated, please.
That, yeah, no, I mean, you see the flip side of it. You sit down and you're like, okay, well, how does this guy get this money? And yet you got a guy like Victor Cruz who's, you know, like, you got to sit down and tell yourself, well,
you know why
he's getting this money.
You know why.
Well, the quarterbacks always, that's where they're going to pour the money into. It's always been. The quarterback is the top position, the leader of the team. Moves the offense because, listen,
okay, but
you
got Joe Flacco making that kind of money. What, is he better than Ben Roethlisberger, Tim Brady?
Nope.
I mean, Tom Brady, I'm sorry, Tom Brady, Rodgers from, like, Green Bay? Like, I mean, what? How do you justify giving him that money? Just because he won the Super Bowl? He's not that.
I mean,
he's not that. He's not that great of a quarterback.
Thank you.
Oh, of course not. But, I mean, you look at the different organizations. I mean, like, you see Eli Manning, he didn't really start making the big money until later years in his contract. It's also dependent on the organization and the way that they run things. Like I said, the Giants, they're old money. That's old money there, and they're old money for a reason. You see the Baltimore Ravens, fairly, I would say, not brand new, but they are a new team, not from the original NFL. So,
right.
I mean,
well,
you look at the different situations.
Hold on. I mean, because a lot of you're talking about the Ravens, because if I'm correct, they're the old Cleveland Browns. Am I right? So
yes.
I think with the passion of Art Modell, they lost what you just talked about, the Giants
being old money, as the Browns were one of the, you know, the stellar franchises and one of the old money teams, but with the passion of Marv Modell, along with the transition from Cleveland to Baltimore. As we look now, Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports in Depth. It's a Father's Day special, and happy birthday to Roberto Duran yesterday when we started the show. Also, you know, you made a point. The Giants may be right now the only old money original team left in the league, if I'm correct. I mean, let's look at it. I don't think there's any. Okay, the Redskins. Okay, we got the Redskins. And the Washington Redskins were the last, from a Black history standpoint of view, they were the last team to get a Black player. Bobby Mitchell got traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Washington Redskins, becoming the first Black player to play for the Washington Redskins. And the owner of the Redskins, there was some pressure supposedly put on him because it was a funded stadium, a city-funded stadium, and the Kennedys, the president and attorney general, said, hey, look, you know, you don't make this adjustment and you're going to have some problems continuing to be funded. And he was such a devout racist that he passed away. He said none of his monies, any way, shape, or form, should be used any kind of way for civil rights or any way to be advantageous in civil rights or an African-American move, as Harold Weston would say, sad and touching. But the point here, Cincinnati, is I think that the Redskins and the Giants, and we could put them, you know, we could, that what one hand could count what is left. Okay, the Chicago Bears, and the Detroit Lions. So we've got four of what you would call old money teams.
Absolutely. I mean, and they're like that for a reason. I think it's just the way you look at the Giants you look at the New England Patriots. Their organizations, they're pretty, I wouldn't say media shy, but they're not a team. Those are not teams that crave media attention. They want to fly under the radar. They want to win. I mean, you look, we always talk about how the Giants, I mean, winning these Super Bowls like this. You look at Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. You know, these are good quarterbacks, good teams, but they don't seem to get the stellar praise like you see other teams like the Colts or maybe
Tony
the
Romo?
Dallas
I mean,
Cowboys.
Tony Romo, a guy like Tony Romo. I mean, really?
He got a big contract too.
Yeah, like, come on, like these guys. You can't compare these guys to Manning, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger. Rodgers? These guys are the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
Period.
And they're getting these contracts. I mean, you tell me, Hoopster. I mean, you're the basketball guy. I'm the boxing guy.
I think I better change to football.
So,
I think I better be a quarterback.
I better be a point guard.
The thing with what happens, though, when you give these guys these long-term contracts, you free up cap money. Am I right? Am I right, Hoopsa? I mean, Cincinnati. See, when you give these guys a long contract, you got them sort of locked in. At the same time, you free up cap money. Am I right, Mr. NFL 411?
Absolutely, and then it also leaves room for renegotiation of the contracts later on. Throughout the years, and especially when you put the franchise tag on them too, you have more say so in their contracts and different things like that. So, I mean, it's some advantages to it and disadvantages. But
don't
you
think that that's
like
a detriment,
that.
Though, having that long of a contract, though, Doc? I mean, because now let's say we digress a little bit and put it in terms of baseball, right? You got guys like Albert Pujols, like this season, that aren't playing to the expectation level that we thought he would. Okay, but now you got this guy for 10 years, let's say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I think that if you have a guy on a contract for 3 years, 4 years, Now about the second year, third year, he's like, oh, wow, if I'm going to stay on, if I'm going to really make money, I better play well this year. So next year for my fourth year, I could either up or I can make money. When you got a guy for 10 years, I don't think
you're talking about a different sport.
First of all, an Albert Pujols, a Sandy Koufax, a Hank Aaron, a Clemente, a Willie Mays, a Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, Bob Gibson, you want to lock these guys in for as long as possible.
For 10 years,
though?
Isn't that kind of what's hurting in the Yankees now?
No, you want them forever. You want them forever. But the point is this. Now, you know, nobody, you know, a baseball player is always putting his best. When you go to the plate, you're thinking base hit. I'm not thinking, you know what, let me ground out the shortstop. So, I mean, a guy is always playing – trying his best, pride-wise, money-wise. I mean, I remember a guy told me years ago, and he showed me what an asinine sports writer he was. In fact, the late, great Art Rush told me he had the guy on his show one time, and a guest called in and said, you know, I always thought you were stupid, and now you're validated. But he told me he would never vote for Jim Rice because Jim Rice only played for himself. How can you hit 300 every year? How can you drive in 100 runs? How can you hit 30 home runs a year and just play for yourself? Anything you do in baseball of a positive helps the team. I mean, that's the bullshit that they run when you keep some of these half-assed players because it's what he brings to the team. The guy's hitting 252. What the hell are you bringing, hot dogs and peanuts? Hey, here's another one, Rooney. He's a positive factor in the clubhouse. I've never heard Clubhouse 7, Yankees 2. I've never heard Clubhouse 14, Redskins 3. I've never heard Clubhouse 2, Blackhawks 1. I've never heard Clubhouse 107.
I just wanted to drop in something on this, though, before you switch back over to baseball. Something that C-Wing said in regard to the Cruz thing that they just automatically upped him again for the $2.8 million exception. The Giants want Cruz back, but they want them at their price. That is the deal. They want him back, but they want them at their price. And they figure that they have a bit of an advantage in the sense that he doesn't want to leave the metropolitan area because of all the endorsement opportunities, you know, that he can take advantage of. You know, the soup commercials and the this and the that. So they basically think that they have him over a bit of a barrel in the sense that he wants to stay here. He wants to stay with the Giants. They're a winning team. They get all kinds of publicity, and he has great commercial opportunities on Fifth Avenue. So they're figuring that they're trying to get a bit somewhat of a hometown discount, if you will. I don't know if they're going to get that, but they're hoping for that.
He's going to get paid.
But the weird part about it is he didn't get any offers from any other teams.
That was the thing that got me. I saw that very, very strange. They talk about owners don't talk. I saw that very strange. Here's a guy who come off the greatest game ever by a pro bowler. Here's a guy who's been one of the stellar receivers 2 years in a row, no sophomore jinx, and nobody wanted him. Nobody was taking a bite, taking a feed at him, and I just found that. Here's even more amazing. Tim Tebow. Somebody grabbed Tim Tebow faster and quicker than somebody tried to grab Cruz. I didn't look very bad.
Yeah, but you look at the advantage, Doc. Tebow, he has no guaranteed money. I mean, at least with Victor Cruz, he had an advantage. I mean, he still had the tender to fall back on, even though he didn't get any offers. But you look at Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is just happy to even get a chance. I mean, though he's coming with non-guarantee, is not to say that he's going to even make the roster. Who said he's going to make the roster?
I'm just saying the fact that, you know, the whole Cruz thing, you never heard San Diego's interested. I think I did hear one time some talk about
Jacksonville.
New England was interested. But you never. Hoops, I got to get back to you for a minute. You had you have an all-pro team you picked, and you're telling me, that's on the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports in Depth. It's a Sunday special, Father's Day special. Happy Father's Day, all the fathers across the country here, United States, you know, Father's Day.
is celebrated here, but in Brazil, Father's Day is not until August. Mother's Day is celebrated worldwide. Labor Day, May 1st across the world, and it, you know, it was first Monday here in September. You said, is it there's truth that there's talk that maybe Doc Rivers is going to coach the Clippers?
Yep, and Pierce and Garnett might be going with him.
What?
They might trade. Yep, because Pierce might get brought out as for $5 million, $5 million buyout. So they're gonna trade Griffin and Jordan for them.
Griffin.
Doc. Yep.
Griffin.
That's
didn't
correct. You
Howard,
heard me right. Blake Griffin.
Howard too, right? Howard going
and,
to
and on, no, that Jordan that center. They're gonna get rid of them too for Garnett. And probably a couple draft picks.
Going to LA.
Amazing.
Going to the Clippers.
I think about my
that ever happened, boy?
Who retired? And we talked about the
Kobe Bryant be crying. Nobody will come to LA to see the Lakers no more. You believe that?
we talked about this earlier. If that would happen, you would feel so bad that Grant left. Because
yeah.
You said, Grant, you know, why don't you just hold up and make it even 20 years in the league? I mean, he was still in great shape.
And
everything.
Jason Kidd.
I mean,
and Jason Kidd, too.
Well,
he made 20.
Well,
Jason Kidd got that offer. I think he just kept quiet about it. I think that was in the works. Because
really?
the Knicks, they had him for another 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah, 2 years.
But I think he knew, That was on the low that he got that offer.
Coaching job?
And that he would get it, which I think is a good thing for the Nets. I mean, they've even played, you know, having played in New Jersey, right across the East
the
River there, the Hudson River, and yet they still were cast in the shadows of the New York Knicks. I mean,
Jason came to the team, took them to back-to-back NBA Finals, something that never happened.
Never.
He elevated the play of the players around him and the team and the organization.
They still couldn't fill the stadium, not even when the Lakers came. I mean, that was the day that we covered, what was that, about 2 years ago when we covered the, because I remember rushing from that game to get to the Jets against Miami.
Right.
And that's when the Lakers came, and they couldn't even fill the stadium over there. I mean, it was just, I think, a bad venue. They've always been the stepchildren of the New York City metropolitan area.
Yep.
Well, things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed now, Seaway.
It sure has, brother.
They're selling out Brooklyn Stadium. You can believe that.
That's damn sure.
The fact of the matter is that I'm glad Kidd has that job because he may be able to accomplish three things. One, he may be able to finally light a damn fire under Brooke Lopez, who statistically had his best year, but I still think he needs a little something in the heart foundation, in the heart area. And number two, he may be able to light a fire under those two damn overrated guards that he has on the damn team. He may be able to do something with them too for them.
But I'll tell you something, though.
I'll tell you what, if he cannot do it, they don't play like Jason Kidd players. And that goes with Williams and the other guy whose name is Casey.
Hold on, Rudy.
I'll
tell you this.
Though.
If Jason Kidd and the Nets in the next 2 or 3 years don't elevate, they're just going to be second citizens in Brooklyn, a lot closer. I mean, because
you know what though, you know what though, Doc. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
And Hoopster, you could agree with me. I don't think anybody even expected them to make the playoffs this year.
There's no question.
You know what?
I said they were going to make the playoffs.
They were expected to make the playoffs.
I wouldn't even go past that.
They were really expected to beat Chicago.
Yeah.
They really should have won that.
They should have won that game.
Look,
they just gave up.
I could coach that team to the playoffs. What they do after that is anybody's guess, but I could have coached them to the playoffs. They got too much talent not to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they gave up on that game. They should have beat the Bulls, but they were all shorthanded too. Please.
Well, the Eastern Conference was a whack conference this year anyway, guys. It was a very weak conference. Come on, face it, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a weak conference.
Yeah.
Even the West, too. I mean, you look at a team, and when I went down to that game, the Memphis Grizzlies are a good team, and they were just swept. They didn't put up any fight. I think that that last game that they lost, game number four, was probably the biggest fight. No, no, let me take that back. Three and four, the best fight that they put up in that series. But, I mean, to get swept like that, I know San Antonio is definitely
And also, talk about members. They say goodbye to Lionel Hollins, Doc. You heard about that. He's gone. They told him don't come back. Lionel Hollins, they told him don't come back. They will give him a guaranteed contract.
You know what he reminds me of? Lionel Hollins reminds me of the football coach in the NFL, the brother whose name I can't think of at the moment, but you know it is, Doc. How do both of those coaches get fired in their respective leagues after leading their team to basically their best years in many a moon? Both of them get fired, and there's not a job for any one of them? Very suspect to me. Very suspect.
What, Lovie Smith? I predicted he would get
Lovie
fired.
Lovie Smith in the NFL and Hollins in the NBA. Both of those guys lead their teams to basically their best records in years, and both of them get fired during the offseason and not another job coming. Very interesting to me.
Yeah, he'll get another job. He'll get another job.
I saw Lovie Smith, and I told Hoops to this, and he was saying, but, you know, he has a winning record. I mean, when you look at it, especially in any sport, what have you done for me lately? I mean, they were looking more for offensive-minded coaches in the league this year.
Let's go back to Chicago. Let's go back to Chicago. First of all, they have a quarterback who's overrated and
underrated. Please, he sucks. Cutler, please,
okay.
He's terrible.
The other thing we have to look at, is that, you know, Lovie Smith at one time was 7-1. He was 7-1. What did he finish? 10-6? He was 7-1 at one time. Okay. He was 7-1 at one time. So he finished 3-5. He didn't even do 400. I mean, 500. I mean, had he did 4-4, he'd been 11-5. He was 7-1 at one time and finished 10-6. I mean, the 10 looked good, but I mean, had he finished 500, we're talking 11-5. 11-5, you know, it seems like only one number, but 11-5 is a huge difference from 10-6. A huge difference in pro football from 10-6. So.
If you're going to take their football philosophy to its logical conclusion, you've got five of them in 11-6.
Yeah, he had a suspect quarterback.
Anything short of a postseason.
Well, I mean, 11-5. I mean,
anything short of
I'll tell you guys this. I see Washington this year. If RG3 comes back healthy, I don't think anybody even expected them to go last season after he got hurt. Please, that kid's an incredible player. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well,
I still think that division is going to be like last year. It's going to be bottlenecked at the top. It's going to be very interesting with the Giants, Cowboys, and the Redskins. Watch, it's going to be another kooky season for that division.
Here's the key. The key to that. How healthy RG3 comes back and how well Dallas plays. Because that's going to be the key.
No, Doc, I have to disagree with you. It's how well Romo plays, because you see, and Lady Aya backed me up on that.
Because I tell you what, if Dallas and the Giants, don't play well, and RG3 comes back healthy, and the Skins will run away with that division. They'll run away with that division because they will. But the key is, RG3's injury. How serious is the injury? How well can he come back? Will he be damaged?
And let me tell you this, Doc. That injury he had is not a pushover injury. Okay,
My point exactly.
It's very important for a quarterback, man.
The way that he can, we're not talking about a Brady. We're not talking about a Manning. We're not talking about a Warren Moon. We're talking about a guy sort of in the mold of Fran Tarkenton, sort of in the mold of Randall Cunningham, who can put the ball down and run with it. Now, he learned in the course of the year how to run out of bounds and how to get down. You know what I mean? But if he can come back 95% of what he was, the Redskins will be a monster. Because, the thing with the Giants here
is the question is you know, you have Cruz. What makes Cruz so outstanding is Hakeem on the other side. And if Hakeem can't play a lot, and I think that's what hurt the Giants last year, there were games he wasn't there. So you can double Cruz, help me see wings, you can double him, you can play him into zones. If people forget, I saw a stat the other day, and I've said this before, Fox Family Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports in Depth, happy Father's Day, and happy birthday, Roberto Duran, Feliz Cumpleaños, mi hermano Cholo. And, you know, people forget, and I've said this, that the New England Patriots, you know, if the Jets were, halfway decent, they could have a chance to win that division because New England is no longer the superpower. You know, the 3 years that Randy Moss was in New England, Randy Moss got 1,000 yards every year, and two of the 3 years he led the league in touchdowns, which means not only was he super-duper, but he made Welker. He made the running game. He made everything, you know, they were an elite. On any given Sunday, they could beat anybody when they had Moss. They're not the same team anymore. And the thing here is if they don't have a healthy Hakeem, then Cruz is not, unless the running game changes too now, because we forget that, you know, the man who everybody's waiting to come back, Bradshaw, is gone. I mean, that's amazing. Whoever
signed with
the
Colts. Signed with the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, but who?
Yeah, but this was a kooky season with the salary cap and the free agency.
Go ahead.
I mean,
me and Hoops
have talked a lot about that. How, I mean, with the moves, I mean, you see a lot of veteran players gone, clamoring for position. I mean, even Donald Driver was saying that he's open to return to Green Bay. I mean, you look at New England, but also don't forget the Giants. They're getting up in age as well, especially with the injuries. Justin Tuck, those guys are getting older. So, I mean, how much of a threat they are in defense as well. So they're
one of the big question too. That you bring up JPP. I mean, how you talk, and you know the whole thing is the whole key to this whole thing of football. Is the AstroTurf. That's the whole key. And we talked about this last week, how, you know, these guys are just, it's insane that I'm going to give Cincinnati C $13 million. I'm going to give Rooney $11 million. I'm going to give the Hoopster $12 million. And then I'm going to put you on a platform that's a detriment to your health and to us winning. I just understand what the big thing is. How much money are they saving using AstroTurf as opposed to grass? I mean,
penny-wise and pound foolish, Doc, which is exactly what that is. I mean,
exactly.
They want to save from the upkeep of the natural grass, this, that, and the other. But like you said, you got million-dollar ball players going down in the heat. So, you know, how are you protecting your investment?
I mean, listen, C-Wings has said for million times, I mean, look about this. The average lifespan of NFL players, it's 3 years. I was stunned.
Yeah.
Because they said the average lifespan of a police officer after retirement is 7 years. And some years ago, they had some people who had a son-in-law who was a bus driver. And I was stunned to find out that the lifespan of a bus driver after retirement is a year. I was like, what? But if you look at it, you know, and you go in transit, you got to do 55 or 30 years. So if you join at 29, 30 years, you're 59. Yeah, 30 years, you got your Saturdays, Sundays off, holidays off. You say, you know, I'll wait till I'm 65, you know. And you get to 65, you say, you know what, I'll wait a while. But, I think that's been the whole key to the injuries, and it's just sad and touching, as our beloved Hal Weston says. The owners, two things, the fact that they don't use grass, and you guys said that last week, when we wish Hoops a happy birthday for the 80th time he wasn't here, is that it's time for these dome stadiums. Well, Hoopster, we love you, baby. These dome stadiums.
I think Hoopster was campaigning for Jason Kidd on the down low. I just think so.
Me?
Why he wasn't there.
And of course, he called, especially when he heard Rooney say he saw something. You know,
I had a vision. And I still say something, and I still say Pretty Boy Floyd.
I had a vision. I
still say something, and I still say Pretty Boy Floyd is going to have that zero changed to one of
the. Oh, here he goes. Cut his mic. Cut his mic. Cut his mic. Cut his mic, please.
I also want to say that I'm expecting all of you to give me big ups when that happens. Straight up.
Okay. Whatever.
All right. All right.
Next.
All is from a guy that couldn't beat Austin Trout, but somehow still has the championship. Okay, guy.
Well,
all right, guy.
Well,
Rudy, what's wrong with you, man?
I want to make another bold statement. Officially, he beat Austin Trout, and unofficially, if Floyd comes in there and he's not 100% on his game, he might get knocked out. What do you think
of that? Rudy, take a break.
Rudy, he might get knocked out by KO. What do you think of that?
You lost your mind. You said something about the Trout fight that was true in the sense of you said,
yeah.
You know, fighting. You know, actually, well, Trout had a better chance of winning that fight had that fight been part of the Mayweather fight, because the point you brought up was outstanding, and that nowhere in the world was he going to get a decision. But the thing is, I mean, they treated that fight like Alvarez's knockdown was a knockout. I thought at worst, Trout got a draw, and when he knocked him Trout got up and damn near won that round. And then Alvarez, for all intents and purposes, only fought 1 minute of 3 minute rounds. I mean,
Doc? What kind of got me was the fact that when Canelo needed to fight, okay, he took rounds off. And when he fights Mayweather, he can't do that. Okay, how do you give the guy a decision when he takes rounds off? To me, I don't get that.
Okay, this is what I see. I feel it in now. Who's coming in? Doc, I'm talking. If the same Alvarez that fought Trout fights Mayweather, Mayweather knocks him out.
Doc,
Mayweather
knocks him out. Doc, who has Alvarez really fought? Okay,
Who has he really fought? Lady A, who argues with you? Outside of me. Are you right?
I do. I fuck with Lady A every other day.
Well, you didn't cut your mic, man. Cut your mic, man.
Cut your mic. Hey, Doc, let me ask you a Lady A question.
Yeah, dog, man. Are you serious?
Who of note has Floyd stopped recently? Tell me that. Who of note has he stopped? Who's he knocked out?
Recently?
Of
okay,
note.
Well, you know, the last time he stopped somebody of merit, you're talking about, was the guy from England.
Hold on.
Patton.
Okay, stop, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. You want me to answer you, or are you going to keep talking? Slow down.
Go ahead, Lady A.
Who has Mayweather fought? Mayweather's fought Hatton. He's fought Cotto. He's fought Sugar Ray. He fought, well, Guerrero wasn't much, I mean, but he fought him, and he was the top at that when he fought him, right? He earned his.
He was a contender. Doc thought about knocking. Who has he stopped?
He knocked out Arturo Gatti, knocked out Ricky Hatton.
An animated punching bag, Arturo Gatti. Yeah, who else?
Victor Ortiz. He knocked him out.
Guy loses every big fight in his life. Vicious Victor Ortiz, you got
him. Yeah, you can't win with him. Rooney.
Oh, God, this guy.
Hey, who? Lady A said Victor Ortiz. Are you kidding me? Victor Ortiz.
Listen to me. You said who has he knocked out. I'm giving you names
you
of people
said.
He's
that
knocked
you said.
Out.
That's what he knocked out.
I'm giving you names of people he's knocked out.
Yeah, but these names are no names.
And people
he's
beat.
Fab
Judah. Come on, guy.
Rooney,
no,
I tell you what. At this point, with the mindset that you're in, we're not taking any more of your questions. We're going to let you speak with us, but we're not taking.
Yeah, to cut his mic. I told you, cut his mic.
Hey,
Doc,
what am I, Barry Bonds? You're blackballing me here?
I mean,
what's my name, Barry?
Hey, you started that with the Mayweather's going to get knocked out. You got everybody all robbed up, man. Come on.
Hey,
robbed up, man. Push-ups. He said Mayweather's going to gonna get knocked out? He crazy.
Two weeks ago, you should have heard him. He was in, and he said, "Lady A, Doc, I see something." And he says,
"He lost his mind."
Yeah. He said, "I see Alvarez not only winning, but knocking out Mayweather." Right then and there. No, I didn't say that. No.
If you're gonna quote me right,
is if that fight goes the distance and Alvarez is still standing at the end of 12 rounds,
right.
He will get the decision. I mean, if you're gonna quote me, Doc, let's quote me correctly. All right.
I thought you mentioned a knockout somewhere
online.
Well,
I know you thought it, but I'm telling you, I know you thought
well,
it.
Well, you know what? Rooney
was
me.
If he was standing, he wins.
But I tell you what, Rooney, when he Hoopster, when he said that, I thought, well, that if we can get him to a clinic in time, he'll be all right for fighting.
No,
you know
Bellevue,
I mean?
We all get paid. Take him to Bellevue in a straitjacket. We all get paid. Put him in a straitjacket. My favorite color is black, so make sure you give me a black jacket, okay?
We'll put you like the sire of the lambs, Dr. Lester.
Floyd's a great fighter. He doesn't walk on water, okay? I just want you guys to remember that.
He doesn't walk on water, okay? Listen, Rudy, this guy hasn't fought anybody, really. Who has he fought? He fought for a washed-up Sugar Shane, okay? And just now he beat Trump. That's it. He hasn't fought anybody. How could you say that? I can't believe
you. Let me tell you something. What I answered, and Doc should know better because Doc has been a performer. And by the way, Doc, I've caught your act, and it was a hell of a fine act, a great act. But you have to know your audience, okay? And just like Trout had no chance of getting a decision, listen to me. Just like Trout had no chance to get a decision. Against Alvarez, where they fought, I am telling you that if that kid manages to go to 12 rounds when he fights Floyd, he's going to get the Duke. Now, I'm telling you, and I want big ups when it happens.
Listen, the only way that he can beat Mayweather is if he catches him. And if he catches him with a power punch, that's it. But you have to catch Mayweather, and Mayweather's not going to stand there and let you hit him.
Nope.
I'm telling you,
Mayweather's defense is sick.
It's disgusting.
Sick.
You know what I mean?
Why do you think he kept headbutting them when they fought each other?
Everybody has a bad night sooner or later. No matter what job you have, no matter what you do, everybody has an off night one time. And I'm simply predicting that against Alvarez, the combination of having a slightly off night and the combination of this kid being pretty popular,
Doc,
he's going to get the decision.
Doc, is Mike still on? You ain't cut it yet, man? I don't cut that mic a long time ago. Come on now. Cut the mic, man. Oh, I'm going to do it.
Listen.
Man, let me ask you guys something, since you all are very esteemed sports writers. Anybody got the numbers of what the Vegas odds are on that Rumble yet? Did the Vegas odds come out yet on that Rumble?
Well, for the September fight, I you know what? I haven't. Remember,
no.
When I went down there, they didn't have any odds yet for
no,
the Rumble fight.
No, they haven't yet. I ain't nothing yet, no.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet about that. About the
you hear anything? You hear anything, Rooney? What's your make?
Not as of yet, but if they're going with me, it'll be very interesting odds. I'll tell you that right off the bat. I'm sure Floyd will be the favorite, but not by the numbers that you envision. I'm telling you, I see.
Oh, you see, cracking up.
I'm going to tell you guys this. I agree with Lady A saying the right thing
with Mayweather. You have to hit him. And you look at the Victor Ortiz fight, the only reason he kept headbutting him was out of frustration because he couldn't hit Mayweather the way he wanted to.
Couldn't hit him at all. Too slick, too fast, too smart.
And that's what's going to happen with Alvarez. He's not going to be able to hit Mayweather like that. Not enough
Hell
to knock
no.
him out.
I think Mayweather also, the thing you guys are forgetting, you know, Mayweather's just entirely too fast.
He doesn't have the legs that he used to have. He still has the fast hands and the sick defense. Doesn't have the legs that he used to have. And don't forget, before that, the Latin kid, Okoto, at the Garden, blooded his nose up and smacked him around pretty good. Let's not forget that.
I'll give you that Okoto
gave him a run for his money like Jose Luis Castillo did years ago. But I still don't see this kid
really meeting the expectation level that you're talking about.
Strong, hey. That kid is very, very
strong. I understand
strong.
That, Rooney, but, you know, you got to understand. Mayweather's about boxing. Hit, not, don't get hit. And that's what it's about. And the guy, you know, listen, he was hitting Guerrero with right hands. And he, his hand, for all intents and purposes, after the fight, we found out, his hand might have been fractured. And he was
yeah.
still throwing it out there and beating the crap out of the guy. The guy is not
yeah,
going to go in
way
the ring.
Outclassed him. Yeah, but he was way outclassed him. Guerrero wasn't in his challenge class.
Listen, when you look
Guerrero,
at when you look
Guerrero
at Guerrero, when
class.
You look at Guerrero and you look at Alvarez's style, how much more different are they? Alvarez comes in. He's a brawler. It's pretty much.
I was going to say hey, that the thing about that the thing that Alvarez has that Guerrero doesn't is he has the ability to knock this guy out with either hand. Oh, I mean, if he gets lucky and throws, he has it. Guerrero is never going to knock Floyd Mayweather. It was never going to happen.
But what I'm trying to get at is they both have a similar style where they walk in and they try to use and impose themselves on these guys, on their opposition, and that's the same mentality that I think Alvarez has, where he kind of like tries to impose himself on as an aggressor. Mayweather's not going to stand there flat-footed and
Thank
let
you.
You hit him.
Nope.
Alvarez
yeah,
does not have the same
Alvarez
head.
Is,
he doesn't have the same head movement as Mayweather, does not have the same speed as Mayweather.
He's actually better defensively than you think, A. Alvarez is actually better than I thought. He's better defensively than you think. I didn't think he was that good defensively also. But the kid is actually better defensively and has better movement.
Rooney,
than
I concur 100% that he showed me he was better defensively than what we thought, but we're still saying that Mayweather is a Curt Flood and Alvarez as a defensive outfit. And even though Kirby kept winning gold gloves, Kirby Puckett. I mean, he shows something defensively, but, I mean, he can't out-defense the defense master. I mean, you can't – I mean, I don't care who you fight. You can't take 2 minutes off a three-minute round. You can't do that. I mean, you know, now he could do that. He could do that against Austin Trout where he fought. He's not going to get
right.
that same benefit against Mayweather. He wouldn't get that same
Doc,
benefit.
It's also, Doc, just to inject this, he does not have the ring generalship that he has. He, you know, Floyd uses the entire ring. This guy does not have the ring generalship that Floyd Mayweather has. He does not.
While we're talking boxing, okay, you had those fights last week, Lady A. Let's go back to them. You had the Laura fight, a tremendous fight there, action-packed fight, the fight that you were talking about for months.
Listen to me. That Laura fight, I don't know if the rest of the panel saw that fight, but I never seen a hematoma like that. Off a punch like El Perro got. That was just insane.
Well, I actually thought he fought a fucking Lady A, to be honest with you. I saw the Laura fight, and I think the kid actually had a legit.
Yeah, but Rudy, I think, if I'm correct, I believe they were thumbless gloves.
They were thumbless gloves.
So that's out.
Yeah, did you see how he started blinking after that? After he landed that, you know, that one punch, and I believe it was a three punch combination,
and he hit him with a right, and that's what caused the hematoma to the right side. I've never seen anything like that in all my years watching boxing. Something swell that quickly, and the referee did the right thing by jumping in when he did. Another punch. God knows what would have happened.
Now let's get to the fight that you were so hyped up about. Did the winner come out that you expected? Let's talk about that fight.
Absolutely, Maidana. Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people are talking about possibly Matisse.
Will knock him out.
Matisse going up to 147 and fighting Maidana. So if that does happen, that may be a good fight. But I don't see Matisse going up 7 pounds to fight him.
Okay,
let's
talk about the fights we got coming up. We talked so much about Alvarez and Mayweather. We've got Timothy Bradley and Marquez. How do you see that one?
That's gonna be a good fight.
You know what? I got to go for my man Marquez. I think that Bradley showed last fight that he had a lot of more weaknesses than what people thought. And I think it was exploited. Let's face it, Bradley shouldn't even be the champion. Pacquiao beat him. So I think that
that the next fight, I think I see Marquez winning that fight.
Yeah, Marquez is more of a power puncher, man.
Yeah, definitely.
And then what do we got? We got the Brandon Rios, Manny Pacquiao fight. So two things here, gang. Let's go through the board real quick. Cincinnati C, let's go with you first. Were you surprised, Cincinnati C, that Brandon Rios and Pacquiao came about in the wake of the fact that people kept talking about, you know, him and Marquez? Are you surprised that this fight came about, Cincinnati C?
I think after that loss to Marquez, I think Pacquiao took a big hit to his camp. Bob Arum took a big hit as well. I think that's what he feared. That's why he never made the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. So I'm not surprised at this upcoming bout between the two. I don't think he wanted anything to do with Marquez anymore.
No.
I mean, more time. After that knockout, he was out cold before he hit the canvas.
Look like homeboy.
You surprised Pacquiao and Brandon Rios?
Yeah, very surprised. This is boxing. Never know. You never know, man.
Okay, Marcus L. Smith Jr., come on. I know you got something to say.
He said enough.
I really don't think so. I mean, they'll do decent pay-per-view numbers. I don't think anybody really cares about him and Rios. And I will say that I think the reason that Pacquiao lost that fight to Marquez, quite frankly, is something that no one ever talks about, but having been in the ring. If you notice, Doc, when they give you that 10-second thing where it knocks bop, 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 meaning that there's 10 seconds up, just as that happens and Pacquiao hears that, he kind of relaxes. It was then that he got hit with that brutal, brutal punch. And as he said, the guy was out on his feet before he hit the camera.
Rudy, hold tight. You know what I need real quick? Give us a closeout. Mic on, lights off. Bring us into that real quick. Come on, Rudy.
Well, the Sports In Depth Nation's been here. The Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God, the radio network. And the straw that turns the drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Samuel. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports In Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
And with that, don't nobody move. Let's take a little... Okay, it's going to be mic on, lights off. Good another 15, 20 minutes or so. We got the gang here. The question has been surprise at Brandon Rios, Manny Pacquiao, and the Hoopster had his say. Cincinnati Singh had his say. And Mel Cosell Smith had his say. And now, the First Lady of SIND Sports, as we once again say happy birthday, Roberto Duran, Feliz Cumpleaños, and Portuguese Feliz Aniversario, and happy Father's Day. Lady A, Brandon Rios, Manny Pacquiao. Is this a fight that says Pacquiao has now fallen from the ranks of the elite fighters? I mean, you know, Brandon Rios. And the question is, does Brandon Rios have a chance to win this fight? Because what we're looking at here, gang, we know after Alvarez, this will be only the second of the six-fight deal with Showtime. So the thought here is we still may have a chance of Pacquiao Mayweather. You surprised that Brandon Rios and Pacquiao, Lady A?
For all intents and purposes, Brandon Rios is not the champion. Mike Alvarado is, and I think that to some degree it may be somewhat of a diss to Alvarado because he's the champion and he did fight Rios. pretty much, I think it was the two fights that they had were fights of the year, I think. You know, and I think that it's to some degree a disrespect to Alvarado not to have him at least fight Pacquiao, which would have been a bigger money deal for Alvarado.
Right.
Okay, again, hold tight, lady. Hold that thought. Marvin Gaye's going to close this, and we'll keep the mic on, lights off. I thought I had Marvin close us for a minute. Lady, I keep talking till Marvin comes in. Go ahead.
So my thing is can Rios and Pacquiao be a good draw? Yes, it can. They're both for all intents and purposes, for people think, you know.
Hold on, lady. Let Marvin have his say.
Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
Is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
What I'm saying is I think that Mike Alvarado should have been offered the fight because he's the champion, and Pacquiao always comes with a big fan base and always comes with a draw. So I think that he should have been offered the fight instead of Brandon Rios. Now, are they cheating fans by doing that? Not necessarily. I just think that Brandon Rios is a big puncher. the same as Pacquiao, and I think they wanted to have a fight where Pacquiao could kind of come out and prove himself as a big puncher, or try to prove himself as a big puncher again. And why not do it against Brandon Rios, who is pretty much considered a big puncher as well?
Yeah. But so, here's a question. Here's a question. Isn't Brandon Rios a top-ranked fighter too?
Yes, I think he is.
Okay. And the other gentleman is not a top-ranked fighter, right?
I don't think Mark Alvarado falls on the top rank. No, I don't think
he
does.
Okay, so once again, we have the scenario that never changes. And you have the question, how good is Pacquiao when he continues to fight guys from his own stable? I mean, this is amazing. I mean, even when he lost to Bradley, he lost to a stablemate who, for all intents and purposes, the title stayed in top rank. So we got this guy coming up. He fought Bradley. That's two guys. He fought Joppy. He fought Cotto, and he fought Antonio Marcos. I mean, he's had, five of his – if I'm correct, isn't Marquez a top-ranked fighter too? Am I right?
We're talking about Juan Manuel Marquez.
No. Yeah, Marquez, who knocked him out. Is he a top-ranked fighter too?
I think so, Doc, but don't quote me on that. I think he is.
Okay, so if he is, that means there's eight fights that Pacquiao's had against stablemates. Not two, eight fights against stablemates. Come on, man. Eight fights against stablemates? All right, here's another question, and you can start it off. As Marvin Gaye said, who really cares? Does the boxing world still care for, you started off with ladies first, does the boxing world still, Doc Stanley Sports and their Blog Talk Radio on the Trusted Guard Radio, mic on, lights off, another good 15, 20 minutes here left. Does the boxing world still care, still clamor for Pacquiao Mayweather, lady? You started off with us.
You know, that's a great question, and I think I had that conversation with Mel a couple of weeks ago. Right, Mel? We were talking about that with Mayweather Pacquiao.
Okay, then now when you spoke to Mel, was this before the vision or after the vision? Because that depends on how much you cracked up.
We have talked about that, right, Mel? We have talked about that in the past. If that fight would ever come to fruition. To some degree, I think so, Doc. I think people still want to see what Pacquiao has, and if he could be, he's going to be the guy that's actually going to knock Mayweather out. But, you know, I'm gonna tell you this. I don't think that you're talking about a Pacquiao where four fights ago, people were like, oh, wow, I can't wait to see that fight. I think it's still there, but I don't think it's as passionate as it was three, four fights ago.
Tremendous point. And also, I think you know, two, 3 years ago, there was a horde of people who felt, with Rooney at that list, that Pacquiao could beat him. People now will say, well, Pacquiao's not going to beat him, but I still want to see the fight. The numbers who believe Pacquiao could win has diminished if this fight comes about.
Well, look at it like this, Doc. Doc, look at it like this. He really did not beat Bradley.
No.
Okay. And if you go back a couple of fights, he really did beat Cotto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Cotto gave Mayweather problems.
Yep.
Okay. So you know, you got to look at it kind of that way too. Again, let's not go crazy either, because you know, you got to look at it like Mayweather did lose to Marquez, and Mayweather beat Marquez, although when he beat Marquez, stop and think. When Mayweather beat Marquez, he was not looking like he was at the same level as Mayweather, and by that I say weight-wise, you could tell he was a lot thinner than Mayweather. So you could see Mayweather was still a lot bigger than Marquez when he fought him. Okay, but you know, you got to look at it. You know, you can look at it from different. If you take time and kind of look at it that way, you know, you got to say, hey, you know, I still think it would still be a decent fight, Doc. You know, when you look at it that way.
You agree with Lady A? The boxing world still wants to see.
Yeah, I agree with her.
Yeah,
I think she said it's on money. It's on the money. So she knows her stuff.
Because my thought here is that, with four fights left to go, he gets passed out. He's got four fights left to go. You know, there ain't four other names out there. And Pacquiao is one of the names that is out there. So I see that as a viable fight. Mel, I want you to answer
this last. Here's something for you, Doc. Stop for a second. Here's something for you. How about this? How about Matisse at 147 fighting Mayweather? Fight you want to see?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, listen. He's got four fights to fight. Hell, yeah. I mean, he's
okay.
got four fights.
Pacquiao at 147, for 147 with Matisse. Fight you want to see?
Yeah, I want to see it.
Well, you better, you better call Don King. We got another promoter here.
Now, you see what I'm saying? Like, you got to look at the kind of fights people really like. Hey, these are big punches. Now you're talking. This is something
see. Here's the thing, too, now. And this is funny.
Fights.
Bruno
here's
against
another
Paulie
fight
Malignaggi.
For you. Alvarez and Martinez. Fight you may want to see?
Yeah.
Especially in the wake. Especially in the wake of Martinez's last fight. See, because here was some thoughts. He got four fights. He beat Alvarez. Okay. I'm seeing Pacquiao in the mix. I'm saying you just mentioned another name in the mix, but I'm also looking at your Broner. It's no question. If Broner gets past Paulie Malignaggi, okay, that's another Mayweather opponent. The question that comes down here, Rooney, if Malignaggi gets past Broner, then he becomes, yes or no, an opponent for Mayweather. Rooney? Did we lose Rooney? Let me check my board. Okay. Cincinnati C. If Paulie can get past Broner, then he becomes. He's got four fights left after Alvarez. He's got four fights left. I think Broner's a name he wants, or maybe Paulie. But I think the fact that there's four fights left. I think the fact that people always wanted to see Mayweather Pacquiao, and if Pacquiao can win, then I'm thinking if Pacquiao wins this fight, you've got to do Mayweather Pacquiao right away.
Well, I think that the talk of the Mayweather Pacquiao fight has definitely waned since, I would say, at its peak in the last year and a half, 2 years, and also was compounded by his loss against Marquez. But not only would people want to see Mayweather Pacquiao, they want to see them, I guess, at their best. So I would say, if it doesn't happen within the next year, I don't think you're going to see it happen. People want to see fighters at their best, not just fighting.
Cincinnati C, it's got to happen now. The point that I concur with you is that after this fight with Alvarez, especially if Pacquiao wins, you got to do Mayweather Pacquiao. But you still have the one problem that you've always had, Barbero. You still got the problem.
Especially after that loss against Marquez. I mean, he was shy about putting together a fight, and me and Lady A talked to him before when he fought, what was that, the Marquez-Pacquiao fight? What was
three.
That, the trilogy,
Marquez-Pacquiao
right?
three, yeah.
And we asked him, is that fight ever going to happen, or does he think it's going to happen? He said yes, but for some reason, he's shy about making that fight, and I can't understand why. He definitely beat Bradley. I believe that was just a statement, for having,
At the same time, how much did losing to Bradley hurt him? Because maybe, but I mean, it's a remote maybe, because it's a fight I still feel Am doesn't want to make, but had he beat Bradley, then the platform is set to, hey, man, let's do Mayweather Pacquiao. I think Mayweather Pacquiao is not ever going to be done. If it's not done now, after they both win, him, Alvarez, let's say, and then Mayweather, him over Brandon Rios, if the fight's not done then, they're still outside.
You might also have another thing too. I mean, you know, Mayweather's deal is with Showtime, and that may also Mayweather's deals are with Showtime. And remember, Pacquiao is with Aaron.
HBO.
Aaron pretty much has stuff to HBO. So that may be another thing where it's like, you know, how are we going to do this? Also, so you know, contractually,
well, also,
anything
also,
can be done.
But also, you do Lady A. You make a great built-in excuse because HBO. Am can say, well, I'm HBO, And he said it was Showtime. It's funny you said that because I talked to Don King today, and it was Don King that made both of those. He made HBO. HBO about to end it exists. He made HBO, and he made Showtime when he took Tyson over there. So, you know, if you want to do it, you can do it. But you mentioned something that may be, once again, a stumbling block, the fact that, you know, he left HBO and he went to Showtime. But I'm thinking it still could be done. I'm thinking you're right. People want to see it. He has four fights left after Alvarez. If Broner beats Paulie, that's fight. That's the fight there, three. Okay, Brandon Rios.
Don't, like I said, too, don't be surprised if you see Alvarez or Martinez. That's going to be I'm telling you, don't be surprised if you don't.
It's a great fight for, I mean, there's two fights Alvarez has, win, lose, or draw with Mayweather. Martinez, and people still want to see, as much as they want to see Pacquiao, they want to see Alvarez Cotto. They still want to see Alvarez Cotto. That's another fight they want to see.
That's another fight. I think that's in the works. That's another fight that's in the works.
Yeah. And that fight.
And don't forget, too, people want to see. People may want to see Chavez Alvarez also.
Yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, you know what? And you know what? So Alvarez is in a great position. There's three fights you just named he can have: Cotto, Martinez, and Chavez. Him and Chavez is a good fight because that's two big guys. Two big guys.
And don't forget, also in the background, you got Erislandi de Lara, too, now, who's in the mix at 154.
Right.
We know it now. There's another opponent possibly for Mayweather.
You may be looking at another thing at 150. See, they're fighting at the catch wage at 152. Alvarez and Mayweather. That's not to say that some of these guys may not go down 2 pounds at a catch weight at 152 and fight. That's another thing you may have in the back burner as well, you know? And lurking in the background is always our boy El Perro. So you can't count him out, you know?
The Pacquiao Mayweather fight has to take place within the next year.
You guys are forgetting something about that. Pacquiao has to win the next fight. Because if he loses again, people are going to be like, he's done. He's washed.
He has to win that fight. I tell you what, though. You know, if he loses again, he can be the last fight on Pacquiao on Mayweather's resume. He could be the last.
At that point, it's just going to reinforce what you guys said. It's like going to see Hopkins and Roy Jones after 12 years.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's not going to be a good fight. You know, I think that it's going to resonate more if Pacquiao wins against Rios, because then they're going to say he's still in the mix. Let's give him a shot. And that'll be – and then after that fight, I think Pacquiao will call it an end.
Here's the question. Will Aram make the fight? That's the bottom line.
Nope.
Will Aram make the fight? And maybe, Aram's disdain, Aram's animosity, Aram's anger, A, B, C, and D, against Mayweather and Oscar is so – that he's still – and there's nothing to say. I mean – this fight should have been made. I mean,
here's the thing, too. You look at Aram, and you know what? And you are seeing a changing of the guard now. When you look at last week's fight, that was a Golden Boy fight. Look at the week before that. The Matisse fight, that was also a Golden Boy fight. You saw Richard Schaefer jump in the ring talking about the next Pacquiao. He actually said that in the middle of the ring, okay?
Oh, yeah, but he's saying it to sell tickets.
Changing of the guard, Doc, and you're looking at the fighters that Golden Boy's getting now.
Yeah,
Pacquiao
has done two things. He's shown an allegiance to Top Rank and an inability to stand up and be his own man. Okay, you know what I mean? When he fought Margarito, that there was in the words of Howard Wilson, sad and touching, and it had to take something away from him. You couldn't make Mayweather Pacquiao, and you made Pacquiao Margarito. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, if nothing else, you say, Bob, I can't fight this guy. First of all, I can't fight him, not that I'm judging him, understand? And second of all, he's a stablemate. get me Mayweather or get me somebody else. But how do you fight Marbury? And then to a detriment, you know, Pacquiao took a beating. Yeah, he may have won the war, but, you know, Margarito won some battles there. So, I mean, you can't judge anybody. But the point is, I mean, you look back at the great champions. You know what I mean? Ali, Duran, Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, man. I remember what Ray said, and Rooney argued, you know, there comes a time that ain't about the money. And me and June Buck talked about it today. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, every Friday night, Madison Square Garden on MSG TV, Mark Breland, the greatest amateur fighter in the history of boxing, 110 and 11, and one of the most exciting fighters who fill the garden, John Duddy. They do the fights of the week. Last week it was Riddick Bowe and Evander Holyfield won. The week before, the Hawk Pryor and the late great Alexis Arguello, their fight too. I mean, it comes a time that it's not about the money. And you know, the thing you look back at, and me and June talked about it today, you know, Gilberto Ortiz, the Latin correspondent and head reporter for Brooklyn Boxing, the Latin side, and you looked at three things, you know, he said, you know, Pacquiao now is willing to fight. Pacquiao now is willing to take the drug test. I mean, you should have did this before. $40 million is a lot of money, man. You test the whole family, and you take the test because $40 million, okay, one. You take the test because you're not dirty, and you take the test because you know what? I can beat him, and that'll solve everything. It didn't do it. AV strike, fastball high and inside on the plate, curveball on the corner, fastball down the middle. You didn't take the drug test, okay, all right. You turned down the $40 million, and, you know, if you could beat him, you fight him. Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, Marvin Johnson, whatever you want, man. I just want you in the ring. Took less money. You know, hey, whatever you want. I mean, there comes a time. And Pacquiao didn't do it. And I don't know if it's his allegiance to Aram, but the point is, as the champion, because he's the guy.
Well, you know, I think you got to look at a lot of things too, Doc. You know, these guys, like when we talk to Melvin and Lathan, they kind of lay out their own groundwork. There's rumors now that Cotto doesn't want to fight in the Garden. He wants to fight at the Barclays Center. There's rumors brewing about that. You know, there's a big thing now with Brooklyn. And Brooklyn's making it. I mean, you tell me, Hoopster, you know, you got a lot of people now talking about Brooklyn. Where before it was like, you know, hey, now you got people wanting to fight at the Barclays Center. So now,
like I said before, a long time ago, the Barclays Center is going to be it. They're going to forget about the Garden. Now they want to put the All-Star game there, and then they want to put it at Madison Square Garden.
And,
why are they going
to
do that?
And check this out. And now you got hockey coming next season. The Islanders are coming to Brooklyn.
The Islanders
are
coming
season.
In.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? You know, it's a lot of, you know, you got Latin artists that want to perform there now.
There's two things here. The Barclays Center will never replace Madison Square Garden. But it works because I remember Cloud, who fought Bernard Hopkins, and I asked him this, and this validates what you're saying, Bobby and Hoopster. I said, you know, do you feel that, you know, you want to fight Madison Square Garden, you know, as part of your resume? And I never forget what he said. He said, the Barclays Center is the new Madison Square Garden. Now, that's the mindset of some people. But, you know, the Garden is always, you know, going to be the Garden. And let me tell you about the Nets. The Nets will always be a second-class organization for the way they treated Julius Erving. And people forget the way they treated Jason Kidd. Now, all this kind of covers things up a little bit by making him the head coach. But the Nets have always been a second-class cheesy organization. Anytime you can't find, I mean, even, okay, they brought Kidd back. You mean to tell me the Nets couldn't have found some kind of way to bring Julius Erving back? You brought Rod Thorne back, you know. But the point you make is validated. I mean, I don't know, because from a tax structure, the same amount of tax you're going to pay in the Garden as you're going to pay at the Barclays Center. But I'm thinking what Cotto's doing is going to be, I was thinking about somebody else too, where he's going to have be the guy, as Hopkins is now. He's fought in the Garden and he's fought in the Barclays Center. So maybe that's what Cotto wants to do too. And, you know, what people are not looking at here, I'll close in a few minutes, is that, you know, Oscar De La Hoya has opened up this avenue for everybody. The guys are now co-promoting their own fights. Cotto is promoting, you know, and Oscar is the guy who doesn't get the credit for this. You know, and say
no,
what you
don't.
Want. Mm-hmm. You know, because Oscar had enough vision to not only do this, but to get the, you know, the thing that blesses me, because the biggest thing I have in life is being blessed, is having you people, having the right people, man. You know what I mean? Because I remember what Jerry West said, and we talked about it last week here. Jerry West said that he thought Kobe Bryant was the greatest Laker because of the potential, because of the plays he had around him. And he said something that was really profound. He said, you know, Magic never won a championship without Kareem. Without Kareem.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
Okay, now, Ramis pulls the rebound down. He throws it to Magic. Magic runs on the floor. He's got Worthy on the wing, Kareem in the hole. You know, it's you know,
Back in Mac doing
the
wing,
shucks. Yeah,
but
man, I mean,
some great,
it's right, you know. Some
Michael
great,
Cooper.
Great, I mean, how about Orlando Rowridge coming off the bench? Oh, man. Who was that? You know what? I beg you to give me a chance to go back to the Sports in Depth, Trust in God, Artifacts and Hall of Fame, because on the wall here, in his rookie year, got an autographed press guide for Orlando Rowridge, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And
God bless Orlando,
you know,
Woolwich, as you know, he passed away. God bless
yeah,
him.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know.
He passed away.
Hell of a
Byron
player.
Scott, remember Byron Scott, man? He was the man, too.
He's looking for a job. He's looking for a job, so I hope he get one. Got
Byron
a lot of coaches out there
looking for something?
Yeah, got some jobs openings. Got a lot of jobs openings.
Well,
yeah.
I thought, what happened? The Cavaliers cut Byron loose?
Yeah, this guy got the
yeah,
job.
Brown is back there again.
Yeah, bro. Oh,
that's
but,
right.
I was
that's right.
Yeah,
right.
I had him back, and I was surprised
right.
he went back there. They did him dirty.
Mm.
I was very surprised he went back to Cleveland.
Mm.
Mike
yeah,
Brown, very surprised. I was very shocked.
Well, you know what? You know what? I tell you something. Have to understand the great line of Dr. King. Forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. You know, and you overlook it. Plus, you know, what Brown is thinking, because LeBron has said it, this contract is up. He may come back to Cleveland. You know what I mean? And one of the reasons that would bring him back would be Brown. So, you know, everybody.
You don't like
kinda,
the only thing is Doc is the owner. Him and the owner don't get along. So.
Well,
Cleveland?
Yeah, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Well, maybe that would change. Maybe you have a new owner. Maybe say, hey, look, you know what? Let's.
That will happen. If they get a new owner, then I've seen LeBron coming back. But that owner's still
yeah.
there? Mm-mm. No. I won't be surprised he goes somewhere else, like L.A. somewhere. I won't be surprised.
Booster, did you catch that Dr. J documentary the other day?
Let me tell you something. I got to say this to all of the nation out there to listen. Go see it. It is amazing. It
you
was something else.
I tried to call it.
I saw it. It was amazing, man. Especially, and you know the part that caught me, I liked it the most?
What?
When they lost to Portland. Lloyd Freed and the rest of the guys didn't want to go and congratulate them. Dr. J, no. Y'all go over there and congratulate them guys. All of y'all. Y'all get up from this locker room, go next door and congratulate them guys. Dr. J made everybody get up from that locker room. Lloyd Freed, Dawkins, everybody, go in the dressing room, the next to Portland locker room and tell them to congratulate them to win the championship. That was unbelievable. Dr. J, that really shook me up. I was
I
almost fell out the bed.
Ever heard
anything like that in my life. And then Dr. J, what'd you say, Doc?
Was it 60 minutes or 90 minutes? How long was the documentary?
It was an hour. It was amazing. Y'all got to see it. As you know, your good friend, I got to say, everybody talk about the Jordans and the Baylors, but Dr. J, the class of his own, period. That's what
I got
to say.
I got a story. Did you tape it, Moody, Houston?
No, I'm going to tape it and come back on. That was amazing.
What was it on? What station?
It was on the NBA TV.
NBA TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barry spoke. Yeah, everybody spoke, man. Yeah, it was amazing. I was like, wow.
I'm going to tell you a Dr. J story in our closing minutes. And my son, which is his godson, Mel, was born in September. His first girl, only girl, Jasmine, was born in October. I remember being in Devontae, and I was sitting in the back. He said, Mel, you ever heard that song, Summer Breeze? I said, yeah. He said, you know that part where they say, going through the jasmine of my mind? He said, if Chuck has a girl, I'm going to name her Jasmine. And we finally got together, and we went out this night. And Mel and his mother, they were in the bedroom with Turquoise. And when we came back, they all had fell asleep on you know, in the bed. And I said, Dad, man, let me wake him up and take him. And he said, no, leave him alone. He said, I'll go sleep in the extra bed in Tails room. I said, extra bed in Tails room? You got extra bed in Tails room? I mean, I knew the household. He says, yeah, we just put it in. I said, okay. And about a couple hours later, Mel and his mother came down and went to bed with me. And I found out what Julius did, not to wake him up, he went down, grabbed a blanket, and slept on the floor in his son's room. I mean, you can't talk about class and character.
Yeah,
you know, Julius is his epitome of it, man. I remember we were driving up to, he was going to play against the Olympic team that time, and we came to a toll, and it was about a quarter, so I threw the quarter in, and Julius said, Mel, look to the right. Said, and that ashtray is all the change you need for all the tolls. He said, when you ride with me, you don't pay for anything. I love Julius Erving as much as one man can love another. I don't think anybody was more exciting a great a Jewish at apex of the game. It's a shame you talked about, you know, Lloyd Freeman, because if those guys had just learned how to pass the ball to Dr. J, had they rallied around Dr. J, people forget George McGinnis got hurt too, but if they had rallied around Julius, they would have won that championship. And Billy Cunningham, show you, I mean, what kind of, with the teams he
had. Cunningham was the coach. It was Gene Shue. Gene Shue was
No. Yeah, I know Shue was the coach then. But the teams that Cunningham had, they should have won three championships in a row, at least. At least.
When they
beat the Lakers that time, they only beat them because the Lakers were injured. Magic was hurt. Byron Scott was hurt. I mean, you know, to show you how the Julius, instead of molding his, the team molded around him, he turned around and made sacrifices, and it was great. You know, it was a Maserati trying to blend in with Mustangs, and I always said about Doug Collins, you know, he can't. How can he coach? How can he talk about winning when he didn't want to pass the ball to Dr. J? You know, sad and touching. We got about a few minutes left here to go.
Yeah, but that was an amazing story. You know, that was the most touching story I've ever seen.
Well,
unbelievable.
Julius just came from the ABA too.
They showed everything. He was in college, high school, everything, Doc. They showed everything.
Yeah.
When he was young, and Doug Collins spoke. Everybody, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
When Lloyd Free said that, wow.
I asked him one time, I said, when was the first time you dunked, Joe? We was in the car. He said, well, at the end of the seventh grade, he said that. And then the seventh grade, I came down in the break, and I threw one down. He said, my next year in the eighth grade, I didn't go to lunch. He said, I practiced dunking through my lunch hour. And he said, by the time I got to the ninth grade, I'll never forget who he said, I could dunk a basketball any kind of way I wanted to. The great, the incomparable, Julius, Dr. J. Winfield Irving.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Nation, they don't see it, watch it. It's worth watching.
Yeah. I mean, when he had the fight with Larry Bird, at the next game, he went down to the locker room. And, you know, him and Bird, and I remember they both, and this is a Bird 2 class act too. Bird came out and they were courtside together sitting there talking. And I think that's one of the reasons why Bird went after him that game. He wanted to say, hey, Julius, this is not like you. And I remember Larry Bird, we were talking one time, and I told Larry that, you know, I had met the late great Grover Washington Cleveland through Julius Erving. And I'll never forget Larry's shirt. He said, me too. Two of the greatest players that ever played. If you had them at the forward slot, you got no problem. Larry Bird, Dr. J. My goodness. Doc Stanley, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports in Depth. It's a Sunday. We're about ready to close out. Start with Lady A. Lady A, what's the last thing you want to say tonight before we leave on the show?
Happy Father's Day to all the gentlemen out there, even though it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, happy Father's Day and enjoy the week.
Okay, real quickly.
Stay tuned
now,
next week for more Sports in Depth.
Okay, Lady A, you're quick. Your pick. Alvarez and Mayweather.
Mayweather.
Brandon Rios and Pacquiao.
Believe it or not, I like Rios.
Yeah.
And Timothy Bradley against Marquez.
Marquez.
Next week, it is none other than Paulie Malignaggi and Adrian Broner.
That's going to be a good fight.
That's going to be tough, Doc. And I'm going to just answer it like this. If Broner goes in and tries to fight straight up, Paulie's going to win. Because Paulie's going to use the whole ring, and Broner's a stand-up fighter, and all that speed, going up 2 weight classes, he's going to have to look for Paulie, and Paulie's going to hit him back, not like these cab drivers.
And of course, he can't go in there joking around either, playing around either.
And then conversely, if Paulie tries to fight toe-to-toe, he's going to lose because Broner's probably going to show him what his hand speed's about.
Right.
So.
Right, exactly. Who's the, yeah. Yeah.
Who's the, Brandon Rios Pacquiao, who you like?
Pac.
And next week, Broner and Malignaggi.
Oh, that's going to be a tough one. But may the best fighter win on that one. Pick him on that fight.
Mayweather and Alvarez.
Mayweather.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, y'all want to hit my picks, right, Doc?
Let me have them.
I know Lady A want to hear it.
Hey.
This is the first team, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Tim Duncan, Chris Paul, Kobe Bryant. The second team is Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Marcus Gasol, Tony Parker, Stephen Curry. That's the second team. Third team, this is the hard one for me, so I had to pick this, was David Lee, Paul George, Roy Hibbert, James Harden, and Dwayne Wade.
Mm.
Wow.
Man, Dwayne Greenway made the 13th. Cincinnati Sea Wings, Brandon Rios, Manny Pacquiao.
I'm going to say Pacquiao because he's on a mission to bounce back. So I'm going to go with Pacquiao.
And we're talking about next week, Paul Malignaggi and Andre Broner.
That's going to be a tough fight.
That is a toss-up, I think, if Broner could go in there and fight. If he goes in there and fights smartly instead of toe-to-toe, I think he'll have a chance.
Yeah. That's a good
one. Alvarez and Mayweather.
Mayweather, thumbs down. Mayweather all the way.
Where's Rooney on this one? Where's Rooney? Duck on this question. Where you at?
Right now, you got that man right between his legs. Right now, Rooney's having a vision. You know, leave him alone. Who's
vision?
You
better get some glasses.
Give us the last word in basketball. San Antonio's up 3-2. You like them in 6 games. Right now, they're looking good so far.
They play like they did tonight. They got a chance of winning. There'd be 5 championships. So we'll see. It's going
to
be tough.
Like him in 6 games. Back to football real quick. Tim Tebow, will he make the team in New England? Cincinnati C?
That's kind of hard. I'm going to say yes. Will he play? Will the Patriots dress 3 quarterbacks? I'm a little iffy about that.
Well, you should have said no, man. You should have said no.
Why would they not dress 3 quarterbacks?
I don't know.
Everybody dressed 3 quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. They have 3. Not every team.
Really? Some teams
have 3 quarterbacks in a game. No, that's not.
Really?
I don't see them doing it. I don't. That's hard to. It's hard to pick with that. I mean, when it comes to gangrene, I tell you one thing, and I think they'll pull Mark Sanchez out quicker this season with Rex Ryan's job on the line.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say pull him out quicker?
Yeah, I think.
Hey, look.
So here's the better question. He's going to be the starting quarterback.
No, he's not. Why should they let him play?
Broad Talk Radio on the Trust and Radio Network, Sports in Depth. Happy birthday, Roberto Duran. Happy Father's Day across the world. 3 thoughts for you. Live your life today as if you had to stand before God tomorrow. Life's purpose system. My urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is what you pay for your space and earth. I simply say from the bottom of my heart and all the crew here, we love you and trust in God. Doc Shelley, Live Talk Radio, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. Come and join us next week right here on Sports in Depth, Live Talk Radio, 11:30. Hey, where we bring you sports from an in-depth perspective and not only about the sports, but the athletes and the performers. Doc Shelley, Live Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. Good night, goodbye, and trust in God.
Night.
Good night, y'all. I'll check y'all.
And with that, we're saying good night. And we will maybe even try to close. As you know, Billy Paul was in San Paulo this past week. He also was in Rio and Spain. Big game today against Uruguay. Brazil won a big football game as they're in the FIFA Championships. And we're just wishing all the best luck to everybody there. And with that, once again, we say, from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all, and trust in God. Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network, Sports in Depth. Good night, goodbye, God bless you, and thanks for being with us once again.